Good morning. It is 9:07 a.m. on Wednesday, February 22nd, 2017. I will call the Dallas City Council agenda meeting to order. Welcome all, and it's great to have you here. We will begin this morning with invocation, and then Casey Thomas, who was the guest lecturer at Atwell this morning for Black History Month, will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Our invocator this morning is Pastor Eldred Sawyer of Care Center Ministries in Mr. Callahan's district. Mr. Sawyer is the co-founder and executive director of the ministries and the lead pastor of Hilltop Church. Care Center Ministries is a nonprofit organization based in Southeast community of Pleasant Grove. He said he kind of grew up there, beginning in 1986 with a calling to address the issues of addiction, poverty, and crime. The programs include food assistance program, one-year residential recovery programs for men and women, an apartment outreach program focused on building relationships, and a community center program with at-use risks. Pastor Sawyer has 30 years of hands-on experience in discipleship, mentoring, and mission work with the poor. He is also selected to serve in the City of Dallas Planning and Urban Development Advisory Committee for the Pemberton Hill Strategic Action Plan. It's great to have you here, Pastor. All rise for the invocation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ladies and gentlemen of the council, citizens of Dallas, I'd like to read from Psalms 133 before we pray this morning. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." If you bow your heads with me, please. Lord, we just come before you this morning, and Lord, we acknowledge your word. Lord, we see that there is a blessing that you have commanded for where your people exist in unity. Lord, we see that you've said that it's irrefutable. Lord God, that your favor and your blessing is on those that stand together in their diversity, but yet in unity. And so, Lord, I speak a blessing of unity over this chamber this morning. I speak a blessing of unity over this city government. I speak a blessing of unity over our city. And, Lord, we lift it up to you. Lord, in Ephesians 4:3, you tell us to endeavor to keep the spirit of unity. And so, Lord, we ask you right now that you would give us grace, Lord God, even though there's many nations, Lord God, many different religions, many different ethnicities, many different political views. Lord, I know that you've created us all from one blood. And so, Lord, I ask that you give us your grace. I ask that you give us your favor. Lord God, that you would cause our hearts to see that unity is the most important thing, because unity is where you will bless. Unity is where you will prosper. And so, Lord, we come before you and we humble ourselves and we ask you to give us that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you.
Good morning, and we will begin with our open microphone speakers. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Robert Ceccarelli, William Hopkins, Dolores Phillips, Carolyn Davis, Cam Conley, and Bernadette Nuttall will consist the morning speakers. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from this session of the City Council meeting. You'll notice you have 3 minutes to speak. The timer is on the podium. When your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. You should state your name and address for the record. as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Again, Robert Ciccarelli.
Thank you. Mr. Ciccarelli, if you just hold on for a second. I overlooked Mr. Callahan. He wanted to say something.
Yeah, Mayor, I just want to thank Pastor Sawyer from coming down. You won't meet any better person. I can promise you that. And the work that they're doing over there is incredible. They have they're taking basically broken lives, men and women, you know, throwaways, and making something really beautiful out of them. They have a house cleaning organization there. They also do landscaping. They have also a moving company, and they're putting these people to work that are otherwise really just, they don't have anywhere to go, and people have given up on them. So I'm watching a great thing flower over there. Every time that we've done anything in our community beautification project or otherwise, they've been right there with their saws and their tools. Even after we quit and working on our Operation Beautification, the man continued to go up Buckner Boulevard trimming trees and just trying to make things better. And their commitment to our community is just fantastic. And that's the kind of group that we really ought to help, because what they're doing is really working. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. Mr. Ciccarelli, get
sir.
The mic.
How you doing? Robert Ciccarelli, 1822 Young Street. First, on the last minute of my speech, going to be about the interview I did with CBS 11 News last week. But right now, I have to explain the Cathedral of Hope, Mayor. You've been here a few years ago. There's going to be 500 homeless people this Saturday for breakfast. I really recommend city council members go there, talk to them. You'll build up the motivation and self-esteem and let them know what's going to be going on. Right now, there's too much of a split. I really recommend it very, very seriously. Cathedral of Hope, between 7:30 and 9 o'clock. Please be there. It would really help. Right now, I'd like to talk about the new city manager, mayor. I have understanding we don't know what he did in Tacoma, Washington, with the homeless at all. Dallas Morning News, Cynthia Crane, no one knows. And for him coming outside to Dallas looks like a Mike Miles situation all over again. You place an inside person from a small city to Dallas, and with the racial bickering between the city council and the school board, it's not going to work until we find out today what he has to offer to the plate for the homeless. If not, he should not make any decisions at all unless the taxpayers know what he's going to decide to do. Second, sir, is that I have to let to inform everybody. I went to all the meetings, 80% of the meetings from last year, the Homeless Commission and the meetings in the suburbs. I only saw two city council members there. One for 1 hour and one for a couple meetings. That was Mr. Medrano. The rest of the 11 never showed up to any of the meetings, and Mayor, you showed up to only one. This shows me the city council has no interest in the homeless at all. If they would, they would show up. I'm very concerned about this. Is it just a big fraud, right? What's going on with the housing, with the homeless and housing? And sir, I just want to let you know that I'm very disgusted, really. The vouchers. I'm just disgusted that the city council voted against the vouchers for the people, especially in West Dallas. 300 families, and this city council member voted against it. You know, it's just very depressing what homeless is like, okay? It takes everything out of you. And what that city council did and what's going on in this city, it cannot be tolerated. Also, I'd like to let you know that the city of Dallas is on the Hall of Shame list. Three cities being worst in the country. Right now, I only got 33 seconds. I'm going to be going to jail on purpose on Friday because homelessness is devastating, takes self-esteem, and it's for safety issues. I've done this three times before, and Friday I will be doing it. I don't know what's going to happen after that, but I cannot do homelessness anymore or living under a bridge or whatever, Mayor. And I'm just to let you know what's going on, and it's going to be happening this weekend. Whatever happens, happens. And one more thing about Judge Jenkins. He has no interest in the homeless, sir. None at all. I'd like to let you know he has no reason to decide on anything. But please have Mr. Broadneck speak what he has to be done in Tacoma.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Your next speaker, William Hopkins, followed by Dolores Phillips.
Yeah, my name is William Harper. Mr. Broadneck, do you have the information I just handed out to me?
Speak to me.
Okay, Mr. Mayor Rollins, do Mr. Broadneck have the information I just handed out?
He does.
Do you have it? Okay, Mr. Broadneck, this is a...
No, speak to me, Mr. Hopkins.
Okay, Mayor Rollins, Mr. Broadneck, if your ears is close to Mr. Rollins, check this out. that's a lawsuit from the, where the city of Dallas sued Mr. Broadnecks, Mr. Rollins and Mr. Broadnecks. That's the lawsuit where the city sued the RSR lead plant. And, they got the money and they gave Fred Byron and Russell Budd, a law firm, $200 million for them to have John Wiley Price to bring us to the Boys Club and to a hotel on Markenburg and issue out the money. The media, don't tell, the media supposed to, I don't know if they got paid not to say nothing. The Dallas Morning News got paid, Mr. Broadnecks, not to say nothing. And the city kept the money and gave $200 million to Fred Byron, Russell Budd, Dorothy Budd, and Lisa Blue of the Fred Byron and Budd Law Firm. Gave them $200 million to come out there and pick pay people and for people, and they paid people not to tell it. One, John Wiley Price, paid people not to say nothing about it and just let the people die. Mr. Rollins been having this, Mr. Rollins, okay, you want me to address you. You've been having this lawsuit since the first day you was on the job, 5 years. Mr. Rollins, you've been letting the people die, playing like you care about the homeless. Okay, this rope right here. There's some kids, black and Hispanic kids up in the audience right now. You put this rope here so the black and Hispanic kids could sit and so they wouldn't be on TV, so they wouldn't be close to you. Your family owned slaves. So you didn't want the black and Hispanic children sitting here, so you put this rope here. And if that's not the truth, tell these black and Hispanic children, why did you put this rope here to stop them from being on television? Since the kids are already here. There's kids up in the audience. The people can't see them because there's no kids. You see there's no kids? They're up in the audience. You can't see them. Tell them why you put this rope here. Taxpayers pay for the city. We pay for this. Taxpayers. How much do it cost for them kids? If the kids sit here, how much would it cost them a fine? If some black and Hispanic kids come sit right here where they can't see on TV, how much would it cost them to sit here and the taxpayers pay for this building? How much would it cost them, Mayor Rollins? Your family owned slaves. How much would it cost the black children to sit here? Y'all ain't talking about y'all care about homeless and y'all care about this. Who else?
Thank you.
No, I don't think it's 37 seconds.
Okay, we'll keep talking.
Yeah, I am. Man,
I think we're...
You think you're... No. You don't say that to white people. You don't never say nothing to white people when they come up here and speak. Every time I come up here, you want to let me know what it is. I can see. The city council is pitiful. The DISD, if I bought South Oak Cliff and turned it to an animal shelter, Ms. Gates, would you let your dog... Tomorrow, would you let your dog go into South Oak Cliff High School? If I bought it for an animal shelter, turn to the animal shelter tomorrow. Would you let your dog go in there?
Mr. Hopkins, thank you.
Your next speaker, Dolores Phillips. Ms. Phillips will be followed by Carolyn Davis.
Hi, my name is Dolores Phillips. Honorable Mayor Rollins. Application number 16A10, Dolores Phillips versus City of Dallas et al. Two packages was mailed, February 17, 2017, addressed 1 First Street Northeast, Washington, D.C., 20543, to the Supreme Court of the United States. The tracking numbers are, the public has a right to know, this was recent, February 17, 2017, two packages of two, addressed, as usual, to the Supreme Court in Dolores Phillips versus the City of Dallas et al. Tracking numbers 9505-112-5687-7048-077452. That's one. Second package, 9505-512-5688-7048-089126. They were delivered yesterday in Kipling, North Carolina. It was the corrected writ of certiorari that I corrected via the instructions of the Supreme Court. It was a motion pleading with the court to allow me to file a supplemental brief once the corrected writ of certiorari was accepted as correct. It was a motion to file the petition for writ of certiorari that exceeded 40 pages delivered to Kipling, North Carolina, but addressed to the Supreme Court. This case appealed from the United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit in case number 15-10042. Appealed from United States District Court, Federal Court, as case number 314-CV-3131. I want the world to know that I was handcuffed, unlawfully detained, and unlawfully arrested on October 25, 2013. It was premeditated to dehumanize, to send dire messages to other minorities and poor people of what will happen to them if they were to speak. I want the world to know that Dallas operates communism masked behind a Democratic Republican government. I want the world to know that the first documents that were sabotaged when I spoke of corruption and racism here was at the Federal District Court. I want the world to know that the documents were sabotaged at Federal Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans. I want the world to know this is not the first time that my documents mailed to the Supreme Court pertaining to Dallas corruption was sabotaged at the Supreme Court of the United States. And I also want the world to know my family never signed up for a Dallas Area Habitat Home for Humanity. Was built for bribery, and you put my grandchildren out, and we wasn't the first, and you didn't start with us, the world will know. It just takes time for a minority.
Thank you
very much.
Your next speaker, Carolyn Davis. Ms. Davis will be followed by Pam Conley and Bernadette Nuttall.
Good morning, Ms. Davis.
Good morning. My name is Carolyn Davis. I live at 2611 Burger Street here in Dallas, Texas, a neighborhood in which I was born and raised. We call it Sunny South Dallas. I am so glad to be here this morning, Mr. Mayor. I want to talk about fair housing and making sure that we are balanced in the process of fair housing. Fair housing, as you know, is very a big concern for me as well as others who live in the South Dallas Fair Park area. When I was the housing chair and a council member, I wanted to make sure that we always talked about fair housing and the balance of fair housing. Fair housing must be balanced. It must be where everyone feels that they are part of a system which we call the American Dream. Here in this city, I'm hoping that we look at fair housing, make sure that it is balanced, it is fair, and that everyone, poor people especially, have a chance to live in what we call safe, decent, and sound housing. Today, I don't think some of my constituents feel that they are being heard for good, fair, and balanced housing. What makes good housing? Good housing is a good product. In communities where I was born and raised, we need everything we can get if it's good and if it's fair. I'm hoping today that the Dallas City Council look at what's good. A product was presented to the Housing Committee, and it has been turned down. I'm hoping that you take a very, very close look at this particular product. It meets all the requirements that's needed in that community. One thing I learned when we was dealing with products that included tax credit, put it out there and let Austin make the final decision. Put it out there. It doesn't mean that it's going to pass. It doesn't mean that Austin is going to accept it. But you put it out there. You put it out there because it's the right thing to do. I'm hoping that this product will be looked at closely, will be heard closely, and vetted closely. We're only talking 75 people, at the most 78 families. 10% market rate. At least 68% affordable. When you're talking market rate, you're talking about $1,000 a month. When you're talking market rate, at the most, you're talking about, at the most, $450. So, Mr. Mayor, as the mayor of this city, I hope that you look at this very, very closely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Pam Connelly.
Good morning, Mayor Rawlings and City Council.
Morning.
My name is Pam Connelly. I'm here today on behalf of one of my neighbors. On September the 27th, 2011, a petition along with the required check for resident parking only was presented to the street department. 4 months later, it took 4 months to approve a resident parking only area, and you know our parking problems. It was approved. The applicant promptly came down with the money for the signs as is required, received a receipt for it, consequently paid for the hang tags. The signs were put up, I believe, within 10 days. And then very shortly, much less than the 4 months it took to put them up, the signs were removed. I'm not going to go into the details. Y'all can find that out on why they were removed, but they were removed. But the applicant didn't get their money back. Now, Mayor Rawlings, you know I'm persistent. And I have consistently come down to L1, clear through the fifth floor, to get the money returned on this. The answers were varying and didn't always make sense. We either need the signs put back up and new hang tags presented or the money returned. Now, I'm confident that you're going to handle this. So I'm going to go sit down and I'm going to mull over being a regular down here at Open Mind. Thank you, Mayor Rawlings.
Thank you, Ms. Connelly.
Your next speaker and final speaker for the morning session will be Bernadette Nuttall. Coming forward.
Good morning, Ms. Nuttall.
Good morning.
Great to have you.
My name is Bernadette Nuttall. I reside at 1409 South Lamar. I come to you today not merely asking, but pleading. I'm pleading for the entire council to facilitate the proposed development, the residence at Hatcher Station. As an elected official, I do understand the roles that each of you play. I understand the commitment your position requires. It's that commitment I'm hoping to appeal to today. Just look at the map presented. The areas eligible for support are mainly downtown and in North Dallas. The city allocated $2.5 million to a project in downtown and $2 million to a project in North Dallas. The city has $1 million available and would rather let the $1 million go unused than support this project in South Dallas. Deinvestment patterns like this are what has created concentrated poverty. Such patterns of depopulation and deinvestment have already required the closing of 4 schools in my South Dallas community. You're forcing dwindling population to move out of South Dallas to find high-quality, affordable housing. We don't want to move. We want to rebuild our community. We need sustained development. This project would bring over 70 high-quality, affordable units to our grossly underserved community. It can help address the presence of food deserts that prevent many families from having convenient access to healthy nutrition. And this project is part of a CRP plan that has been going on for over 10 years, which is the criteria that qualifies under the Fair Housing Act. If we truly are to believe in the promise of the Grow South Initiative, Mr. Mayor, what better thing to do than show your support of the citizens and the children of South Dallas? This should not be a political issue, Councilman. and women. This is a quality of life issue. Please do not let politics interfere with improving the quality of life for our children in South Dallas. If the true reason why this development was not supported, those recent HUD ruling, there are legal opinions that have been shared to address this issue. With this being said, then we're left with petty politics of being the reason why the request is being turned down. Show our citizens and children of South Dallas that you value and respect them. Show them that they're just important to you as North Dallas in the state fair. Show them that they matter just as much as any market rate developer. Right now, our children, the community of South Dallas, need each of you to advocate for them. They need to see your right words aligned with right actions. Please help show your commitment to a better Dallas, a one Dallas, a future Dallas, by helping the residents at Hatcher Station in sunny South Dallas become a reality for the children in the community. Because you know what? South Dallas matters. We matter. And I need you to show us. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nuttall.
That concludes your speakers.
Thank you. Question, Ms. Young.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I want to first thank the residents. I see there are some residents and others, staffers and other individuals that have come down this morning to offer comments about and stand in support, others that are here to stand in support regarding projects on today's agenda related to the LIHTC, the low-income tax credit project. Colleagues, I represent an area that stretches from Joppa to Far East Dallas, Pleasant Grove, Buckner Terrace, and then certainly, as you've heard this morning, sunny South Dallas, an area that for many decades has fallen behind the curve when it comes to quality and affordable housing options for the diversity of everyone living in District 7. I do also believe that there are many opportunities that we should pursue as a governing and policymaking body of this city that does not erode the intent of sound decisions to bring affordable and mixed-income housing to these needed areas. And so I just want to again reiterate that I do support affordable housing for all income levels. And I would ask the city manager to look into these policies, and can you speak to the concerns that have been raised here today? I know that this particular project is not posted, but we do have some tax credit projects that are posted. And can you talk about the city policies and where this project fits in with the city policies?
Thank you, Councilwoman. Yes, I can. If you recall, in November of 2014, the city of Dallas entered into a voluntary compliance agreement with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Affairs, HUD, which required, among other things, that the city provide affordable and assisted housing in new areas of opportunity. In June of 2015, the Supreme Court held that the practice can violate the Fair Housing Act, even absent of discriminatory intent, if it results in disparate impact or creates increased or reinforces or perpetuates segregated housing patterns because of race, color, religion, sex, handicap, familial status, and national origin. I believe the Housing Committee was briefed on this in August of 2015. A month later in July, HUD issued a new rule affirmatively furthering fair housing, which requires that the city take meaningful actions to overcome patterns of segregation and foster inclusive communities to address significant disparities in housing needs and access to opportunity to replace segregated living patterns with truly integrated and balanced living patterns to transform racially and ethnically concentrated areas of poverty into areas of opportunity. I believe the Housing Committee was briefed on that as well in August. In response to these developments, the City of Dallas began soliciting public input to develop a housing policy. And in December of 2016, Resolution 161989 was considered and approved by the City Council, adopting the policies states related to the low-income housing tax credit projects that, in consideration of these areas, they can only be located in areas of high opportunity, which is defined as a poverty rate at or below 20%, and an elementary school that has a state accountability rating of MET standards from the Texas Education Agency. Secondly, as mentioned earlier, they are located in areas with an active and funded concerted revitalization plan or involved in a rehab of an existing multifamily unit. And further, that the Office of Fair Housing would review these projects to ensure that the project affirmatively furthered fair housing and complies with the Fair Housing Act. A review committee in this case, comprised of city staff and private and financial banking industry representatives, reviewed the responses to the housing department's notice of funding availability for which these applicants applied. Per the city's housing policy, only four of the projects were eligible for consideration. Two were in high opportunity areas, the Flora Lofts and the St. Jude project, and two were located in concerted revitalization plans, of which the residents of Hatcher was one of those. In compliance with the housing policy, the Office of Fair Housing reviewed the projects. Three of the four projects were recommended by staff to the Housing Committee for Council action. The residents of Hatcher was not recommended due to the result of concentration of low-income housing in an area already existing of high poverty. Additionally, there was an adjacent census tract that racially and ethnically concentrated area of poverty as defined by HUD. In support of that recommendation by our fair housing area, the Fair Housing Organization Inclusive Communities Project on February 2, 2017 concluded that the approval of residents of Hatcher Station would perpetuate racial segregation in the city and would not affirmably further fair housing. And based on the staff's review and the recommendation provided to me, as well as the Housing Committee, with further support from Inclusive Communities, staff cannot recommend that this particular project be approved as a part of this NOFA. So I wanted to share that and give some context to the review that we have gone through to bring these projects forward.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Can I ask one more question?
Yes, you can.
Yes, okay. I did receive an email from Ms. Hopkins respectfully requesting that I make a motion, and I just want to be transparent for the community, make a motion at the upcoming council meeting Wednesday, February 22nd, 2017, to put the Hatcher Station project forward for discussion and ultimate resolution for support for the proposed project, including up to $1 million in gap funding and identification as the property contributing more than other developments to the CRP efforts in the city. Can that motion be made today? Can that motion be made today? Because the community is here wanting answers.
Ted, so we've got a lawyer coming up front.
Tammy Palmino, council member, no, that motion cannot be made today. It was not posted, so that motion would be in violation of the Open Meetings Act.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold, questions? We're not going to be discussing this. We're just going to be asking questions. If you got one, please.
I have a question.
Please.
I have a question as it relates to the policies that we have elaborated on. So do we have an attorney that can come up in terms of the question regarding affordable housing?
We do. I was just going to say I am deferring item 34 and 35, the LIHTC issues, because there are several council people that want to ask some legal clarification questions on that, and we're going to take that up in executive session. And then we'll come back first thing in the afternoon and vote on those.
All right. So you're going to answer my question?
Please. I mean, if there's...
Mr. Castro? It's not anything major earth-shaking.
Okay.
I'm not going to throw any stones or anything. I'm just
No, that's fine. We just... Lawyers have a tendency to...
Do we have the... And this is kind of a pointed question. But in light of what we're dealing with in terms of our policy, can our policy be tweaked so that it can address the needs of these underserved communities without us having to keep waiting and trying to figure out how to do it? Can we do it? Can it be done legally by this council and of the Housing Committee and this council?
The city manager and I had a discussion at length last night about exactly that process, about going forward. Is it a wise thing and a preferable thing for this body to bring some clarity, to know what is allowed and disallowed with the affordable housing? And I think yes. The short answer is yes, ma'am, that I think that this body and staff do need to take a hard look and a thorough look at bringing some certainty and clarity to our process and what is allowed and disallowed.
Can we start that process immediately as a mayor?
We're going to start it at lunch.
With the process of changing. Now, the community is not going to be with us in executive session nor lunch. And so they're here today to get the answers. And so, Mayor, I'm taking this particular opportunity to let the community know that it is frustrating. And I'm one of those who we will talk about this in more detail. But for the constituents, those who need affordable housing, they really don't care about what we have to go through the bureaucratic red tape. They just want the housing to be put in place so that those who need housing can have access to it. So I wanted to make sure, and number two, do we need any special expertise in terms of additional lawyers or housing experts to help us to facilitate a housing policy that will afford the opportunity of equity in the southern sector?
I think we're going to be taking a real hard look at that starting today, Councilmember, about what resources and staffing we need to develop and bring forth recommendations to you moving forward.
All right, those are my
questions
at this time. I appreciate
it. Mr. Callahan, Ms. Clayton, the questions, this is not a discussion, okay? So if you got questions,
yeah,
Ms. Callahan.
I was wondering, Mayor, if it might be possible for the housing chair to yield to some questions. Would that be possible at this time? Regarding this very subject matter?
I don't think, because we're getting into a discussion and debate, and that's the lawyers have made it very clear in the open microphones, it's not posted. So we don't want to get into, if you've got
not
questions
to
staff.
It, but I did have specific questions there.
You've got questions to staff.
If I can't ask the chair, then I would like to ask staff. Would somebody representative that is in the housing committee please come to the microphone? Probably bring a lawyer with you, just for good measure. Couldn't hurt. Bernadette, are you here? Sorry, Ms. Nuttall, Bernadette Mitchell.
Yes.
What was the motion in the housing committee when I think there was a motion and then a second was withdrawn, and then I think the discussion within the housing committee that they would consider any and all particular measures, you know, in terms of a 4 or 9% tax credits, they would take that issue up. Is that what you recall, or what did you remember the motion to be in the housing committee?
On February 6th, when the items were taken up, there was a motion by Councilmember Clayton to consider Hatcher. At that time, the committee decided to go into executive session with the attorneys, and attorneys advised them on legal matters. When we came out of session, the motion was withdrawn. By the council member.
Can you explain your belief? I know you can't speak for Mr. Clayton, but why do you think he withdrew his motion?
I think as Mr. Broadnax explained, is that fair housing was a concern on this particular project.
Also, I think in that meeting, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Thomas, and I will use the word cajoled or pressured into recusing himself because he felt like he had
you're not asking a question here. I think you're opining.
Do you think that Mr. Thomas had a conflict of interest and should have recused himself?
I'm not sure about the details regarding that matter. I do know that the council member did recuse himself.
Ms. Broadnax.
She answered the question.
Okay. Thanks. All right. Thank you, Ms. Callahan. Is that it? Okay. Mr. Clayton, you have a question?
I actually do.
Okay.
May I ask that item 34
be put back on the consent agenda because it's not really in question. It's up in the northern sector of the city in an area that affirms what we are trying to do with HUD. So I prefer not to have it come off the consent agenda.
Well, I appreciate that. It is I'm not talking about any items in executive session. I'm talking about all items that have tax credits involved. I want to understand. There are some legal questions, so I think it's better to get legal questions about everything written. So.
Okay. Sure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold, you have another question?
Yes, sir. Mr. Rollins.
Yes, ma'am.
There was a meeting that we held and included one of the attorneys who went to the Supreme Court and I think wrote part of was part of the process. I think I'm just overwhelmed this morning. I can't think of the words, but it was part of the process. And I think if Bernthal is here, is it possible that we can at least hear his comments about what happened when he was involved in Supreme Court rendering on the case that impacts us as it relates to affordable housing? There seems to be some different interpretation of what actually happened with the Supreme Court as he being the first part of the process, and then where we are as our council stands, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I understand what you're asking for. I want to get through these speakers. If he wants to come back and there's a question when we take up these items, if there's a question from council.
So all of council can hear, because we're meeting.
If there's a question of clarification at that time, I would yield and let him answer that question. At this point,
okay.
I think we're getting through this.
All right.
Look, guys, I spent a long time with Secretary Castro. He made it very, very clear what Mr. Broadnex wrote. Larry Castro. Castro.
Castro.
No. Excuse me.
I met with
Castro. Secretary Julian Castro.
Okay.
And he made it very clear what Mr. Broadnex spoke about. And we've got to get started on what you talked about to be real clear on this. And every council person has asked me questions that they want to ask Mr. Castro about that. And we will do that. We'll take this item back up. And we will we'll take action at that time. We will also be deferring item 70. There's something that needs to be said in executive session on that as well. And with that, let us take up the consent agenda, Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
No. Item 70. The
70?
No.
70?
I thought it was 70. Boards and commission, item 70.
Thank you.
Item 70.
Mr. Mayor, can we do the minutes first?
Yes, I said consent.
Your agenda item number 1 is approval of minutes of the special city council meeting and city council meeting of February 8, 2017.
We have motion. We have motion and second. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried.
Thank you. We do have 3 registered speakers on agenda item number 5, and they are Dallas Cothram, Les Greenberg, George Wilson. Those individuals will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state to the topic, state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlings.
Are we reading the consent agenda? Okay. Got it. Go ahead.
Again, the first speaker, Dallas Cothram. 3 minutes, sir.
Hey. Morning, Mayor, members of council. Dallas Scott from 900 Jackson Street, representing PMAM Corporation on this matter for registration of alarm systems. It's a little surprising only 2 respondents on this, and given that our client's locally owned and a minority business with 2/3 of its employees being minorities, and we're the lowest bidder with arguably the best technology, we just really thought that this might be something where the citizens are best served because we have apps. We've got a proven track record. And we're in Houston, and they've grown that contract from $5 million to $12 million and lowered the number of false alarms. So, you know, I think we've demonstrated that we're an industry leader. I think just generally I was surprised there are only two respondents, and I've seen you in the past consider these things, and given that we are the most cost-effective and a minority-owned company, it just seems like we would love an opportunity for council to further consider this. We provided additional information. You know, the selected companies had on a couple of occasions in San Antonio and El Paso where they were awarded something and never were able to implement it. So we just are hopeful that you might hold this item and there might be some further investigation, because you're looking at considerable additional savings, and at this point we're at least $100,000 cheaper on an annual basis. So, you know, mindful of the fact y'all have a busy day, you don't want to take up a lot of time, but, you know, we think in the categories that matter, MWBE, lower price, and the best product that's the most technologically advanced, we think that we were the best respondent. Thank you.
Your next speaker, Les Greenberg. Mr. Greenberg will be followed by George Wilson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. We're excited to be here today. I'm Les Greenberg with Public Safety Corporation regarding the matter of the proposed recommendation of a service contract to our company to help to assist the city with the false alarm program here. With me is our president, George Wilson, who will be speaking in just a moment. We, as a company, Public Safety Corporation, are the oldest company in the false alarm management business. We have been helping cities and counties throughout the United States and Canada for about 16 years. Our software solutions, we started installing in cities and counties to help with their false alarm programs back in 1999. In 2003, we began our managed services, which is what the subject of the RFP that we're being proposed as the awardee on dealt with. We've had many clients that we've served for 10, 15 years and more throughout the country. In all, we've worked with over 300 cities, counties, and other municipalities. We've had long-standing relationships with many localities in Texas, Louisville, dating back to 2002. We still support their false alarm program. Grapevine, Temple, and Tyler, and other nearby cities. In total, we have over 35 actually clients in the state of Texas, and we're very proud of our footprint here, which is the largest as we understand it anywhere. We also have the largest footprint throughout the United States with cities and counties with regard to their false alarm programs, and support many large jurisdictions like Dallas. Our software technologies for alarm management are installed in cities like Los Angeles and Toronto. Harris County, Texas, the largest county in the state, uses our technology. So we have a large footprint throughout the United States and indeed in Texas around false alarms. We support many large jurisdictions, as I mentioned. We run the alarm programs for Atlanta, for Charlotte, which we've run for 12 years now, Honolulu, New Orleans, Omaha, Wichita, so many other large cities and counties. We're very excited about this opportunity. Dallas is a very important client to Public Safety Corporation, and we're excited about the opportunity to serve you. I'll let George run my time out and start his 3 minutes, if that's all right.
Thank you. George Wilson is the final speaker.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, council members. My name is George Wilson. I live at 277 Monterey Drive in Naples, Florida. Our corporate headquarters is in Florida. As Les pointed out, we many, many times enter into competitions where, in some cases, we win, and in some cases, we don't win, otherwise known as we lose. We accept that fully, and I just want to say that we have proven in close municipalities such as Irving that we have been able to significantly increase the amount of permits and reduce the amount of false alarms over that of anyone else who tried to do this before, either with a homegrown program or with some other vendor. So we're very excited to come into Dallas, work with very, very closely with Mr. Brodnax and everyone in the city staff to take what is already a good ongoing alarm program and bring whatever technological effort we can to help to improve that. And thank you very, very much for the opportunity. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you. We move now to your consent agenda. That consists of agenda items number 2 through 69 and addendum items 1 through 4. Agenda item 2 is pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Kingston. As Mayor Rawlings announced, agenda items 34 and 35 are held to later in the meeting. Agenda item number 38 was deleted on the addendum. Agenda item 44 is pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Arnold. Agenda item 49 was previously deferred by Councilmember Kleinman. Therefore, remaining on your consent agenda for consideration are agenda items number 3 through 33, 36, 37, 39 through 43, 45 through 48, 50 through 69, and addendum items number 1 through 4.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to approve. We've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 2 is authorize a 3-year service contract for feral hog control and abatement from city property, Stryker Outfitters, LLC, most advantageous proposer of 3. Councilmember Kingston, pull the item.
You've made motion. Thank you. I will entertain a motion from Ms. Gates.
Can you go first? I just put
move for approval.
Right, motion second. Discussion. Mr. Medrano.
I know that this is dealing with, I believe it's the, is it the feral hogs?
Yes.
So this, it doesn't have to do with feral hogs, but recently in East Dallas, I know that I've been getting many, many complaints about coyotes and them attacking people's pets and hanging out in the front yard. And, you know, people are really concerned. Is there something that we can look into to figure out a way that we can either remove them and place them in a – they do rescue the coyotes. I've seen that before. And there's just no one really close by. I know that there's a way that we can educate the community, but the folks are really concerned that it's getting worse every day.
Yes, sir. Councilman, we do have a contract with a wildlife management company that deals with coyotes and foxes and other kinds of animals that are vector species that can carry rabies. They will remove as necessary. They also give, you know, important education to citizens about how to deal with them.
Okay, so I heard about that, but I heard that they wouldn't remove them. But you're saying they will come and remove them?
They will remove them when the animal shows evidence of being injured or having rabies, whenever it's necessary. But there are a lot of animals that are just part of the urban landscape now, and if removal is not the only option, they will look at that as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'll talk to you later, Joey.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm really glad that Mr. Medrano brought that up because we really are talking out of both sides of our mouth. The city has published information directing neighbors that coyotes and bobcats and other forms of wildlife that some people are threatened by are simply a part of the urban landscape and must be tolerated. Yet we think we can trap our way out of this hog mess, and I have severe concern about that. The last time we let this contract, we discovered that the guy actually didn't do a thing. There was even a suggestion that he may have brought in hogs. The last update this council got on this issue was that we had hired a new biologist in the city, which I think is very appropriate for a city of our size, and that we would be receiving updates on a pilot program that had been vetted through Park Board and this council to see what the effectiveness is of trapping. And we've never received that report. Yet here we are today with a non-local company with zero minority participation, and I've got Park Board members texting me that it's some kind of emergency. Well, it's been 3 years since we had a program. How is this an emergency?
The item was briefed to Quality of Life last August, the pilot program, as you mentioned, Councilman. And then this agenda item for the procurement of the contract was taken to Budget, Finance, and Audit as a procurement.
It's just not going to get my support. I mean, I don't have any, you know, you guys have to update us. You really do. At this point, I don't, why is this guy going to be any better than the last guy who we wasted $300,000 on? I just don't feel, you know, the role of this council is interesting. We're to set policy, but we're also to exercise oversight. And oversight cannot be effectively exercised without full and complete information. So here's the basic rule. If management gives us timely data that is complete in order for us to make a policy decision or exercise our oversight capacity, and something goes wrong, it's the council's fault. If we don't have proper information, it's management's fault. And that's going to be the standard we hold ourselves to. So I don't know. I think this is pretty half-assed. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed? Mr. Kingston. Thank you. Motion carries. Next item.
We move now to agenda item number 44. Authorize an amendment to resolution number 15-1380 with 2000 Roses Foundation, Inc. to number 1, allow the unit to be rented to a qualified household, and number 2, extend the agreement to May 30, 2017 to complete final paperwork for renovation of 220 North Cliff Street. Councilmember Arnold, pull the item.
I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Griggs.
Move
approval. Second. Thank you. Ms. Arnold.
Yes. Excuse me. This item I pull because it is in an area of concern, an investment that we have as a city. I pulled yesterday this particular item, attempted to, and it was already posted. So I wanted to make sure we draw the city manager's attention to the process that we have, and perhaps we can tighten up, because we don't have enough leeway in terms of us receiving packet, I mean, receiving information from committees, and then the committee taking action on it, and sometimes the action may preclude it from being passed on, but because it's posted and already set in the agenda, it becomes part of the agenda, and then the community gets confused as to what the council person is doing.
Thanks.
Now, I brought this up, and Mr. Sims reminded me that we spoke about this resolution earlier this month. But oftentimes, when I'm able to continue to do research, it creates other questions, a line of questioning. And so I think that's very healthy and helpful for these, for our communities, and we're supposed to be good stewards of taxpayers' dollars. Now, on this resolution, I asked for and had not seen the amendment to the resolution. This resolution includes an $85,000 grant to a developer to renovate a home in the historic 10th Street on 2020 North Cliff. And Mr. Sims, you might as well start moving up. You and Ms. Bernadette can come together. And as stated on this particular agenda, it allows a unit to be rented to a qualified household. When I spoke yesterday to the developer, the household is already occupied. So there's someone in the house already. Extend the agreement to May 30, 2017 to complete the final paperwork for renovation of 2020 North Cliff. Now we're told financing, no cost consideration to the city. Now, as a representative of District 4, the questions that I had were relevant to the process of which we are able to track paperwork to make sure and to authenticate the work. And I believe that is a healthy process for a council person to take in terms of guarding
the taxpayers' dollars. So this project was $85,000. And so simple questions would be, did we have a process to in which we went through to check the work? Work has been checked.
Yes, Ms. Arnold. Right. The
inspection should be inspection.
Mr. Cossum informed me that Sustainable Development finaled this in August of last summer. It received a final inspection from the city.
All right. And at that time, someone was in the house. Do you know that?
I'm not aware of that.
Well, the reason I'm pointing this out is because we're being asked today to approve it so that someone can rent it, but someone is already in the facility. So my final question, as it relates to no cost consideration to the city, has this particular developer been paid all of his funds, $85,000?
No, ma'am. Until the paperwork is finalized, we hold a 10% retainer. So I think somewhere in the neighborhood of $76,000, $77,000 has been paid. 10% retainage is being withheld until all the paperwork is finalized.
So paperwork inspection has been completed. So this is a house that is livable, sustainable, according to inspection.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So I need to see the final. I didn't see that here. He did bring the materials that I requested, but just note that I just received those this morning, so I was not able to calculate the invoices to ascertain whether or not $85,000 had been given. So we are still in debt to the developer until we're able to complete the paperwork, which should be the end of May.
Yes, the typical process is to withhold 10% retainage.
All right. And you're holding that for what purpose again?
When we're finalized the paperwork, when everything's done, then we'll issue the final paper.
All right. What do we want to see in the paperwork?
Pardon me?
What do we want to see in the paperwork?
I think we just have to vote on this.
No, for me, I need to make sure that whatever we gave the $85,000 for, if you put in plumbing and stoves and all those things, because I read a little bit here, I know what supposed to have happened. So my question to you is, what in the final analysis, if someone is living in the house, what will the final paperwork look like? Because I'm going to ask to see it.
Right. So for the home itself, we're looking for Mr. Cossum's Shop and Sustainable Development to have issued green tags for the various systems. We're also looking for the final green tag. We also ask the developers to submit waivers from the subcontractors to ensure that they've been paid. We also look then for the homeowner or the renter to produce documents that indicate to us that they are eligible to be in the house income-wise, and so that oftentimes that's tax returns. We also have done pay stubs or verifications of employment.
All right, so when this paperwork is complete, what would be the next step?
As the paperwork is complete, then we would issue the final payment, and then we would ask the attorneys to wrap up any legal work that is required on the property, either deed restricted or otherwise.
All right. So with that being said, the mechanism that triggers the communication to the council person in charge of that district, speaking on behalf of those constituents, what mechanism in place will be triggered so that I will know that everything is complete and he's received all $85,000?
The paperwork we provided this morning actually is print screens of Sustainable Development's inspection logs, which indicate green tags on those systems, and also the final inspection, which would have been done last August.
But, City Manager, what I'm asking is in May. This is projected to be in May. So when I follow with all my positions today, then a part of what I'm asking, City Manager, is that we begin to take a new route, is that communication systems are put in place so that as a councilwoman member, I don't have to go and ask for the information is given to me just as normal business. And so, City Manager, I'm going to ask that's one of the things that you note that would be very helpful to us so that we're not having to go back and ask for.
Councilwoman, I can appreciate the request to be informed, similar to Councilmember Kingston. I think the level of detail, particularly as it relates to what I just heard, as it relates to a project, a rehab, or a reconstruction, looking at permit documents, looking at, final approvals and paperwork down to that degree, I think might be a little much and time-consuming as it relates to staff's ability to provide that level of detail. If it's about reporting the types of projects that are recommended for rehab or reconstruction in your districts, and then sharing with you the completion of those and finding some way to make sure that you're engaged maybe with the homeowners in those districts to ensure that the work is of quality and they're receiving the types of things that they need. I think that's appropriate. I think, you know, the files and other things are typically audited internally, and I think by HUD, and I know there's been a history or some concern about our record keeping, and so I think we're making improvements there. But I'd like to discuss offline with you kind of what that threshold is for that level of detail, because that could get very time-consuming and prove to be inefficient.
All right, well, let me, and I'm glad you mentioned that, but as we move on in a new direction, I can tell you, and I'm going to say this because the community is here, and I am all about providing education and information so that people will understand how the process works and the challenges that we face as we attempt to do our job. And I firmly believe that if this city gives $85,000 to any developer, we need to know how it's spent and ensure that it's spent as intended. And so as a voice for those individuals who have elected me, I want to make sure that we are able to vouch for the monies. Now, whether it's cumbersome or not in this age of the digital revolution, it just should be a push of the button to get what we need. Also with this process, I need to, because I've had just a couple of comments, that lack of community involvement about this piece, so I want to make sure that we locate and get from the developer the community meetings that were held regarding this property, because I have received the comments that there were not sufficient input. So as I continue to advocate, and City Manager, with you being new here, I also want to tell you and the rest of the council members, there are, I have some developers in the southern sector who are beat down and dogged, so to speak, about their investments. And so we want to make sure in background and financial profile, and I find a lot of inequities as it relates to the southern sector. So I want to, in District 4, so I want to make sure that all developers hear this message, and the city manager and the and housing, is that we treat all developers the same. What information you require of one, we require the other. Whether it's a background check on of some of the most lucrative deals in this city to the lower level, I want to put on record, and we'll go more into detail as we continue to move on, that we are fair when it comes to divulging information and the requirements that is needed to complete this deal. And I don't ever have a problem trying to track taxpayers' dollars, and I'm not going to stop today. So moving forward, I will go ahead today and accept this particular, after I have talked to the developer and asked some questions, so I feel comfortable pushing this forward so that he can get his money. But I will also be visiting that property. And so if I find that it's not up to standards, I will be back to bring this forward to this council and to the legal team. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now. Agenda item 70 is being held for discussion in closed session. Agenda item 71 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from RKCJ LLC an unimproved and improved tract of land containing approximately 25,727 square feet, four slope easements containing a total of approximately 23,330 square feet, and a drainage easement containing approximately 5,257 square feet, located on Wheatland Road near its intersection with Lancaster Road in City of Dallas, Block 7605, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed rent resolution for this item for the Wheatland Road Improvement Project. The item will require a record vote.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion, Ms. Klein. Oh, Ms. Klein's not here. Excuse me? Oh, we've got this is item 71, right?
Yes.
We need to have a motion. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mayor. Move for approval.
The motion is second, and then we'll have a record vote. Discussion. Excuse me. Ms. Arnold. Okay. Ms. Young.
Just a quick question. As it relates to the two-step process, does this not qualify that we bring it forward first and then bring it back for an eminent domain action if it's necessary.
Well, Mr. Broadnex is new, so I'll let, here we go. Thank you.
This is the second step. We have, this is the second step in the acquisition process.
All right. Just wanted to get that on the record. Thank you.
Thank you. Please vote.
All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members McGew, Arnold, Thomas, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson, Council Members Gates, Clayton, Mayor Rawlings, Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Council Members Callahan and Young. Voting against, Council Members Medrano, Kingston, and Griggs. Council Members Grayson and Kleiman are absent for personal business.
Thank you.
Motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
The following statement will apply to agenda items number 72 through 77 and addendum items number 5 and 6. By making and seconding the motions the council members represent, they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, for adoption, the items will require 2 seconds. Agenda item 72 is authorize a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement with Casa View 2 LTD and or its affiliates in an amount not to exceed $1 million in consideration of the owner's investment in eligible expenditures for improvements to Casa View Shopping Center located at 2331 and 2203 Gus Thompson Road pursuant to the Public-Private Partnership Program. 2 seconds for adoption.
Thank you, Ms. Callahan.
Move approval.
Thank you. And no second. And we have no second. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda items 73 and 74 need to be considered collectively. Agenda item 73 is authorize a real property tax abatement agreement with I-20 Distribution Park Phase 1 LLC for the purpose of granting a 10-year abatement of 90% of the taxes on added value to the real property for a proposed new speculative industrial warehouse facility located at 8900 Blanco Road in southern Dallas within the International Inland Port of Dallas. Agenda item 74 is authorized a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement with I-20 Distribution Park Phase 1 LLC for reimbursement of costs associated with public street and utility improvements to facilitate a proposed speculative industrial warehouse facility located at 8900 Blanco Road in southern Dallas within the International Inland Port of Dallas. Again, 2 seconds for adoption.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Move approval on item 73.
And 74.
And move approval on item 74 as well.
We got 2 seconds. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. We have some special guests, I think, Ms. Young, in the audience. We'll take a little break and let you introduce them.
Yes. I just want to introduce Nova Academy, the student council, I believe is here, if you guys want to stand up. They are here visiting the council meeting this morning, and I'll be going over to the school. They invited me to come visit with them and talk about municipal government. So thank you all for joining us this morning, and I believe the school is actually located in District 5. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, I just wanted to welcome all of you guys, too. For, you know, I know some of you live in District 5 and District 7, and you're out in beautiful Pleasant Grove, and we're glad you came down to learn a little bit about government, and hope you enjoy your stay while you're here. Take lots of notes. This is exciting stuff.
Thank you. Item 75.
75, authorize an on-site reconstruction of two homes in accordance with the requirements of the reconstruction program statement for the properties located at 4227 Opal Avenue in the amount of $103,000 and 3811 Hamilton Avenue in the amount of $103,000. 2 seconds for approval.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion Vice Chair Arnold, through the housing. Mr. Gregg's sitting here, so I'm just. You want to move this for approval?
All right, I will move item 75 for approval.
Thank you. We got motion 2 seconds. And Mr. Kingston, any discussion? Ms. Arnold?
I just want to appreciate those who are going to support this property, and we're moving to enhance the affordable housing opportunities for those in the southern sector in District 4. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 76 is authorize an amendment to resolution number 150778 for a housing development loan with Citywide Community Development Corporation to, number one, provide general obligation bond funds as a conditional grant for two of the units in the amount of $80,000, and number two, extend the contract from December 31, 2016 to February 22, 2018 for construction of single-family homes located on scattered sites. 2 seconds for approval.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold.
Arnold. Request that we support, move for approval item number 76.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? Ms.
Same
Arnold?
Comments. Thank moving, you. Moving, moving, moving.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 77 is authorize an amendment to resolution number 16-1361. To change the awarded reconstruction contractor of one home located at 2612 Stevenson Street from Bethel Enterprise, Inc. to Myco Trucking, Inc. 2 seconds for approval.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold.
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion and 2 seconds. Any discussion? You have anything to say?
No, sir, I don't. I was really trying to get the advice of my councilman here on how to present a little bit better.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 5 is authorized an amendment to resolution number 16-1830 to replace Exhibit A, the South Dallas Fair Park grantee list, to correct funding amounts and grantee names. 2 seconds for adoption.
Thank you, Ms. Young.
So moved.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 6 is authorize a housing development loan in an amount not to exceed $2 million with St. Jude, Inc. for acquisition of a property at 2924th Lane for development of a permanent supportive housing project for the homeless. 2 seconds for adoption.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Move for approval.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? A motion is carried.
So your morning items, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. It is now 10:25 p.m. We're going to break a.m. Thank you. Ms. Alonzo always keeps me straight and narrow. We're going to meet right now in the executive session, so if everybody can be there in 5 minutes, I appreciate it. The City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the city attorney on following matters described in today's agenda: legal issues relating to the Dallas Police and Fire System, legal issues relating to items number 34, 35, and addendum item number 7, and under Section 551074, personnel matters of the Texas Open Meetings Act, to discuss the board and commission appointment of John Perry, reinvestment zones 5, and 11. We will reconvene at 1 o'clock. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
We have a special announcement.
I'm sorry. I screwed that up. Mr. Thomas.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Well, today is a special day. We honor one of our colleagues, our Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Eric Wilson, for his birthday. So let's give him a round of applause. So my gift isn't singing, so on three, we're going to all join in together, okay?
Hold on, before we do it, make sure, I want the Stevie Wonder version.
All right. All right.
If I know that, you join in. You're more than welcome to join in the audience. All
absolutely.
Right, all right. And and just so you know, my gift is not singing as well, so let's join in together.
All right. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. All right.
That was not well. Did you want to say something?
Be careful what you ask for.
Mr. Callahan had
Yeah, I guess I'm the resident historian. I just want to make note that today is George Washington's birthday, the father of our country, first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of our countrymen. I don't know if he cut the cherry tree down or not, but I tell you, he's a very important figure in American history, so I just wanted to commemorate that.
Back here.
The Texas Open Meetings Act, and at 1:18 on February 22nd, 2017, we've returned to open session. Thank you all for waiting. I said 1 o'clock, and it was 15 minutes later. I apologize. We had a long executive session. We gave everybody just an extra 15 minutes. Ms. Gates, you want to make any introductions?
Good afternoon. I want to welcome one of the schools that are in my district that come annually to visit City Hall. We have Christ the King, which is at Northwest Highway in Preston. So if all the Christ the King kids could wave, thank you for coming. It's their lesson in city government. And this year's third grade class has a really special student. It happens to be my niece, Elizabeth Staubach. So I've got Elizabeth down here with me for these few minutes that they're in chambers. So welcome. And I'm sure they're going to be well behaved like they are every single year.
How's Mrs. Shrupper as a teacher?
<He'll> be...
Oh, we get some thumbs up. All right. Well, thank you. We will take up, let's do item 70, boards and commissions. Ms. Rios first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Agenda item 70 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. We have to the RZ Reinvestment Zone 5 Board City Center and Reinvestment Zone 11 Board Downtown Connection. John Perry is nominated by Councilmember Kingston and meets the property owner in TIF District, Dallas County resident qualification in both. Those are your only nominee.
We got a motion. Do we have a second? We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. We'll go back to items 34 and 35.
Agenda item number 34 is authorize a public hearing to be held on March 22, 2017, concerning the application with the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs, TDHCA, for 4% tax credits in the approximate amount of $7,705,000 with tax-exempt bonds and the approximate amount of $15 million to be issued by the City of Dallas Housing Finance Corporation for the Silver Gardens Apartments and existing senior apartment community comprised of 202 units for seniors located at 2620 Redosa Avenue, and at the close of the public hearing, authorize number one, DHFC to issue the tax-exempt bonds in an amount not to exceed $15 million, and number two, a resolution to support the TDHCA's award of low-income housing tax credits for the acquisition and rehabilitation of the existing Silver Gardens housing development.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs. Approval. We have a second. Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 35 is authorize a public hearing to be held on March 22, 2017, concerning an application with the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs, TDHCA, for 4% tax credits in the approximate amount of $7,579,038 with tax-exempt bonds in the approximate amount of $15 million to be issued by the City of Dallas Housing Finance Corporation, DHFC, for the Flora Lofts, an existing apartment community comprised of 52 units for families located at 2121 Flora Street, and at the close of the public hearing, authorize number one, DHFC to issue the tax-exempt bonds in an amount not to exceed $15 million. And number two, a resolution supporting the TDHCA's award of low-income housing tax credits for the acquisition and new construction of the Florida Streets Lofts LTD development. And, Mr. Mayor, that item did change. The item did change from $14 million to $15 million due to typographical error.
Thank you. And Ms. Griggs. Your motion is second. Discussion. Ms. Arnold.
Yes. Just getting clarification on this item. On yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, there was a motion to defer part of the funding mechanism to March 22nd. So I need to, Mayor, if I could direct my question to Mr. Casey Thomas, who submitted that motion.
Please.
Could you repeat that?
What was your motion yesterday, Nick, the Housing Committee, as it related to the, was it, no, it was economic development, I'm sorry.
Right.
What was our motion?
Okay, it was to delay to, this particular project to our next committee meeting.
So that was passed through the committee? Was that correct, Mr. Callahan, I should say?
We moved to delay it and defer that to March 20th, and then we would take a closer look at that item, and then it would come back to council for final approval. I think we could break this down a couple of points. We could allow the public hearing to go forward, but we would just withhold our approval until we have another opportunity in economic development to weigh in on that on March 20th.
So that really what I'm seeking is some resolution, because there are two different decisions have been made, one by the Housing Committee and one by Economic Development Committee, and this puts us in the quandary that we find ourselves in when we...
Well, let me just be clear. We're voting on to authorize a public hearing, okay, not to support the item. So I think both can happen. I think we can vote aye on this, and still economic development can do their work before we vote, before we have the public hearing on March 22nd. Is that correct? I'm looking, and people are nodding yes.
Could we get a legal interpretation on that? Because I'm concerned about the funding. That was part of the concern yesterday, was the amount of funding that was taken from that TIF for this one project at the expense of affordable housing in downtown. And then there the threat to affordable housing in the southern sector. So that's where I need the clarity and the pushback.
Yes, ma'am. That issue is still to be debated further when it comes back to committee and then this full council a month from today on March 22nd. So today we're just basically calling the public hearing so that we can move it forward, but it's not by any means a done deal until after March 22nd when you all take that vote on not just the tax credit piece of this, but also the TERS and the loan and so forth.
So we're saying we are not, Mayor, I need clarification. That's why I'm asking for the attorneys, too. We are not going to approve the funding through the TIF with this, with the activity, the actions we engaged in today.
That's correct.
All right. Could I hear from the legal interpretation so we'll have it on the record?
Mark is absolutely correct. We're just calling the public hearing today.
With no funding mechanism kicked in.
Correct. We're just calling
the
public.
I just need it on the record for those who keep pushing for affordable housing opportunities in the city of Dallas and the use of those affordable monies that are set aside. So mm-hmm. I need to make sure I had that on the record.
Right.
Thank
it's just
you.
The authorization of the public hearing.
Ms. Arnold, are you done? Okay. Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a project that's been hanging around for a long time. At one time, a few years ago, had 9% tax credits granted by this body. Those expired due to holdups by our city staff. And it's amazing that the developer has persisted. His focus from the very beginning has always been affordable housing for artists. I'm very confused about what the question is about whether this is affordable housing. It's all affordable housing. That's the point of TDHCA LIHTC deals. So I'm not really following what the problem with that is. The importance of moving this along can't be overstated. We've already caused the project to founder one time because of problems in this building, and so we'll need to speed it along. And frankly, this was briefed to economic development as a courtesy. Housing passed this through previously, so under the charter, there was no ability for the Economic Development Committee to withhold the project at all. And you know, furthermore, it had been noticed last week for, or 10 days ago for a hearing today. So I strongly appreciate support for the project. It's a really good deal. It's affordable housing in the Arts District, actually putting artists in the Arts District. Imagine that. So just look forward to having your – and, by the way, this is one of the first projects that we've done that complies with the new HUD guidelines that requires low-income housing to be in high-opportunity areas. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan?
Yeah, as Chair of Economic Development, I just wanted to explain that we got very minimal time. We had a tour set up, and so it was evident that the people on the committee, they wanted to have a little bit more time to ask questions. I think some of those discussions kind of circle around the fact that there was housing tax credits as well as TIF subsidies put in, and that basically was 18.4%. Also, the equity participation by the developer was the housing tax credits and the developer fee itself. So those were some questions. Also, the return on cost was, I think, 5% with the subsidies and like 2%. So it was a pretty thin deal. Although we do recognize, and I think the committee understood that it was a low-income housing deal, and that was something that was definitely within our goals on the city council to be able to get into that direction. But, again, we just wanted a little bit more time, and we'll weigh in on that on the 20th, and then possibly this will move forward, you know, for a full vote on the 22nd. So stay tuned.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold.
Yes, sir. In light of the conversation that we've had all day today and throughout some months regarding affordable housing and the opportunities and the laws that kind of restrict us from getting the equity that we feel that we deserve, I have a statement that I need to read into the record as we move forward. These are my remarks as a council member representing the citizens of District 4. One of my goals is to ensure that the ability to bring quality housing and development opportunities to the southern sector of this city is a priority for our new city manager. It's critical that we address the multitude of needs in the southern sector in a comprehensive and strategic manner that provides long-term benefits to the many underserved and underdeveloped areas. Projects after projects proceed through the development process and receive priority attention that often do not favor the community that I represent in District 4. I would urge this council to take a very serious stance as we verbalize the Grow South, the Neighbor Up, the Neighbor Plus, that our programs truly put money where its mouth is. So, Mr. City Manager, Mr. Broadnax, I would request that you better align the efforts of the economic development and housing staff to work together to identify creative solutions that allow us to take full advantage of the various programs and resources in this city's economic development toolkit to bring sustainable development to the southern sector. Now, I applaud Mr. Kingston for moving forward to put affordable housing in the downtown area. But it is with this statement I continue to encourage us to push for and understand my goal as representative in the southern sector to push for equity. Equity in terms of fairness with quality of life opportunities and affordable housing that we can no longer keep pushing aside. The time has come today for us to take this first step today to rectify this quandary that we're in. So, City Manager, I pass this challenge off to you to respond to those of us in the southern sector who continue to wait and wait and wait. So thank you so very much for allowing me to share that with you today, City Manager. And thank you, Mr. Kingston, for reaching out to make an effort to put the housing, affordable housing, in the downtown area. And I'm repetitive mainly because the concern in the Economic Committee was the amount of money that's being taken out of, I believe, the TIF for this one project. And so it's only fair that we get equity with the distribution of those funds throughout the City of Dallas. Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, we move now to your zoning consent agenda, which consists of agenda items 78 through 80. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, Councilmember Young would like to be recognized on agenda item 83.
Ms. Young.
I move to defer item number 83 to the April 26, 2017 meeting.
Any discussion? Did you want to say something, Ms. Young? Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Councilmember Young would like to be recognized on agenda item 88.
Yeah.
I move to defer this item to the April 26, 2017 council meeting.
The motion is second. Discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to hold this item under advisement until the March 22nd meeting.
Which item?
Item number 85.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, I've been informed that because the item, the public hearing was open at the last meeting, we need to read the item into the record, call for additional speakers prior to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Got it. On 85?
Yes.
All right, we'll come to that then.
Thank you.
Okay.
Agenda item number 78 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 2129 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store 3,500 square feet or less on property on the north side of Lake June Road at the terminus of McElry Street east of Oak Hill Circle. Agenda item 79 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to specific use permit number 2034 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store greater than 3,500 square feet on property east of South Buckner Boulevard, south of Sighing Road. Agenda item number 80 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 2189 for a recycling buyback center for the collection of household metals and industrial metals on property on the northeast line of Southbury Avenue, north of South Haskell Avenue. Agenda item 81 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a utility or government installation other than listed to allow an elevated water storage tank use on property on the northwest corner of Forest Lane and the eastern section of Forest Gate Drive. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve agenda items 78 through 81? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to approve. We had a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 82, a public hearing for a new subdistrict for light commercial office and restaurant with drive-in or drive-through services service uses within the light commercial office subdistrict of Plan Development District Number 631 and an R-7.5A single-family district on property on the southwest corner of West Davis Street and Northwest Moreland Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 77 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received five replies in favor and three in opposition. Due to denial by CPC, this will require a three-quarter vote to approve.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to deny the item? Sir, if you'll please come forward, you do have 3 minutes. You'll notice the timer at the podium. Please state your name and address for the record, as well as state to the topic. Your comment should be addressed to Mayor Rawlings. Sir, go ahead.
Sir.
Please state your name and address.
Hi, my name is Miguel Villarreal. I represent the owner, and I'm at 3318 Forest Lane in Dallas, Texas. This is our current existing Popeyes as is. Currently, it does not meet our corporate brand and imaging requirements. Additionally, the site has many plumbing issues and it has many foundation issues. and the site in general is in need of a lot of TLC. We've deemed that the best course of action would be to scrape the building and erect a brand new Popeyes. This is what we're proposing. It's the latest and greatest prototype from Popeyes. One of the concerns from staff was the residential community in the back. And so what we've done to address that is we've proposed an 8-foot masonry wall, not a wood fence, an 8-foot masonry wall, coupled with landscaping that is going to be 10 to 12 feet high, so it's going to actually go above the masonry wall. Additionally, we've also moved the speaker confirmation unit over, and we've also worked with our photometrics to make sure that there's no light affecting the residential community. Additionally, you know, interestingly enough, this Popeyes is pretty run down, but it's actually one of our best stores sales-wise. The community loves to eat there. It's in the top quarter percentile of our portfolio. And so the site does very well, and the community loves to eat there. And we think that when we propose this Popeyes, we think it's going to be great, and we think it's going to be one of the best-looking items on the block. Additionally, once we are finished with construction, there's going to be about 45 permanent jobs created. And so that would also be a benefit for the community. Moving along, one of the main issues is the site is non-ADA compliant in multiple areas, from the sidewalk to the ramps to the building itself. It has many ADA issues. And so we fully intend to bring it up to code and bring it up to compliance. Oh, you guys didn't see that the whole time?
No.
Oh, my God. Can I start again?
You're still not seeing it.
Oh, boy. Okay.
It's only on these two.
Well, really?
Only the audience can see.
Well, let's just look at the old picture, and let's look at the new picture.
This is the before.
Okay.
As you can see right there, it's a very old, run-down building.
Yep.
This is what we're proposing.
Okay.
You can see in the back the white wood.
Yeah, the
masonry wall that we're proposing, coupled with the shrubs that are going to be 10 to 12 feet high. On the rendering, the shrubs are not 10 to 12 feet high, but just so you can see the wall.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think we got the idea. Appreciate it.
Any questions?
Are there any other speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to deny? Are there any speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as requested by the applicant, subject to revised site plan and landscape plan.
Okay. Any discussion?
I think this is a great project. Just so everyone knows, this used to be a church's, possibly back in the 1970s. And then the zoning came along and outlawed drive-throughs. And obviously had a drive-through, and they want to have a drive-through. And it's located next to Pinnacle Park near Casey Thomas's district. And if you know Pinnacle Park in that area, there's quite a few drive-throughs. So I'm not sure why they outlawed drive-throughs here back when they did the zoning a couple decades ago. I think the 8-foot masonry wall is going to be beautiful. It's going to help the neighborhood, 10-foot landscaping. And then I support the ADA changes. So I ask you all to support it. Thanks.
Thanks. Just education to us. So the staff recommended to deny it because of the drive-through issue. Is that what you?
Yes, that was part of it. There's some zoning that was passed some time ago that outlawed drive-throughs in this area, even though there are some, and it's an area where drive-throughs make sense next to Pinnacle Park. So it's one of those unintended consequences, I believe, of the zoning place over there, a couple from a long time ago.
Okay. Thank you. Mr.
Arnold. I just had that same question. Could we hear from Mr. Cossum? Because I want to make sure that as I move forward with zoning that's in place and we're asking that we move beyond, I want to hear some of the arguments and evidence that's been given to support it. Because as we move to continue to talk about LIHTC, and if it's a no for LIHTC and it's a no, then can we get around it? So can you get around zoning if zoning is still intact? So what has happened so that they can
move forward and ask for permission to get the...
Sure. Zoning is a legislative process, so anybody or any applicant can come in and request to change their zoning. Now, we will reflect on the various city policies and plans that have been in place in terms of staff recommendation. In this instance, the overall PD for West Davis was preceded by a area plan, a land use plan, that had made some recommendations. As council members pointed out, the drive-through uses where they do exist are on the major arterials and at the intersections of major arterials. But the plan really and the zoning both recommended a more pedestrian environment in that area, so it was trying to address the proliferation of drive-throughs and recommended that drive-throughs not be allowed. But obviously council in kind of formulating new, looking at the overall policies of the city, could choose to make a legislative decision on within the zoning to allow them.
So the new what we're asking for today, the comments for this new sub-district for light commercial and office, so that it does accommodate.
Yes, ma'am. The LCO district is what this is today. We're just creating a new sub-district to add the drive-through use in there. In addition, the lot has always been deeper than what the zoning reflected, so a piece of that was actually still zoned residential, even though it was already being utilized as part of the parking for this facility.
Well, I just need to hear that because I'm going to continue to work on how we can work to improve things such as housing and dealing with zoning and other barriers to what we're trying to do with affordable housing. So I just thought I need people to understand. I know this is not a house, but the process of changing in the community is what I needed to hear. Thank you so very much.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 84 is a public hearing for number one, a CR community retail district with deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant, and number two, a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise store 3,500 square feet or less on property with an ordinance granting a CR community retail district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on the west corner of South Beltline Road and Garden Grove Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 54 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and 11 in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? Sir, if you'll please come forward. Oh. Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change recommended by the City Planning Commission.
Motion is second. Any discussion?
Yeah, I just want to I originally pulled this because of the 11 oppositions. It appears that those individuals may not have attended the community meeting where they talked about the denial for the SUP for alcohol beverage. And since then, they have been spoken to, and they're in agreement with what's going on here. So,
thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 85 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 2099 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store 3,500 square feet or less on property with a D1 liquor control overlay and deed restrictions on the southwest corner of Great Trinity Forest Way and North Jim Miller Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 13 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received one reply in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson.
Yes, Mayor. Thank you. I move to hold this item under advisement until the March 22nd meeting.
Second. The motion is second. Any discussion? Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, I've just noticed, just innocent bystander listening, there's been a number of these issues that we're seemingly getting perpetual deferrals on some of these items, and I just wonder at some point, are they going to get their day in court, you know, either an up or down vote on these? I don't have any dog in the hunt here, but I'm hearing that over and over again that we're having multiple deferrals, and I recognize the rules, as I understand, as long as we are in favor of the motion, it can be deferred as many times as possible, but at some point, we'd like to get closure on some of these items rather than just defer. And I've been keeping score, so I know there's been multiple deferrals. Not picking on our fine deputy mayor. I just happened to, that was one of many that I've heard today. There's at least two or three on that item, and I think one was in Ms. Young's district that had been three deferrals.
Mr. Callahan. So to clarify, Ms. Casto, where is Ms. Casto? Tammy. Yeah. Will you just explain how this works from a deferral standpoint for the council?
The city council rules allow the full body to defer an item. It doesn't say how many times that they can defer it. And in particular on the zoning matters, they're deferred before the city the public hearing is open. Otherwise, they're held under advisement. That's just kind of a technical issue.
Okay. Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement applies to agenda item number 86. By making and seconding the motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, for adoption, the item would require 2 seconds. Agenda item 86 is in public hearing and an ordinance granting a new sub-district within Plan Development District number 830 and the removal of a D-liquor control overlay on a portion on property in an area generally bounded by West 10th Street, both sides of North Bishop Avenue, both sides of Melba Street, and both sides of North Madison Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 196 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 32 replies in favor and 3 in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor, and again, 2 seconds for approval.
Thank you. Mr. Greggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I move approval.
Thank you. Any discussion?
This is a old D1 liquor overlay that's on the south part of the Bishop Arts District, which is an entertainment area, so it doesn't make much sense to have the overlay in an entertainment area. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 87 was deleted on the addendum. Agenda item number 89 is a benefit assessment hearing on street paving, drainage, water and wastewater main improvements, and alley paving for project group 12-3001, and at the close of the hearing, authorized an ordinance levying benefit assessments and a construction contract with Camino Construction LP, lowest responsible bidder of 4. Are there any speakers that would like to speak either in favor or in opposition to the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mayor. I move for approval.
The motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. Who made the second?
Mr. Kingston.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And Mayor, could I?
Yes.
We just had 86. There was one clerical error I was supposed to clean up in it.
Okay.
And so I'd like to bring that up for
reconsideration. Any discussion? On discussion on reconsideration? Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? We'll reconsider the item. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you. My apologies. I was supposed to read. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following change. The two-year limitation in Section 51A-4701D is waived for SUP applications in Subdistrict 3B until February 22, 2019. That's because part of the zoning we're putting in place with removing this overlay, some uses require SUPs, and so we want the businesses now to be able to come in and apply and not sit around vacant until 2019.
Any discussion? Ms. Arnold.
Yes. Mr. Griggs, would you repeat that again? Just joking.
Yes.
I got part
the
of it.
Two-year limitation.
Two-year what?
There's a two-year limitation in
okay.
Section 51A.
Okay.
4.701D is waived.
Wait, 51 what?
A.
Okay.
That's a plan develop our code.
Okay.
Development code. 4.701D is waived for SUP applications in Subdistrict 3B until February 22nd, 2019.
I just want to make sure you could repeat it, but I actually did need to get those documentations on that. So thank you so much,
thank
Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now
to 91.
To agenda item number 91 and 92, which need to be considered collectively. Agenda item number 91 is a public hearing concerning the City of Dallas participation in the Texas Enterprise Zone Program in order to allow the nomination of the Neiman Marcus Group, LLC, located at 4121 Pinnacle Point Drive, 1700 Pacific Avenue, 1201 Elm Street, and 1618 Main Street in Dallas as an Enterprise Zone project. Agenda item number 92 is authorized in Ordinance 2, number 1, ordain the City of Dallas participation in the Texas Enterprise Zone Program, and number 2, nominate the Neiman Marcus Group, LLC, located at 4121 Pinnacle Point Drive, 1700 Pacific Avenue, 1201 Elm Street, and 1618 Main Street in Dallas to receive designation as an enterprise project under the Texas Enterprise Zone Act. Are there any speakers on agenda item number 91? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
I move approval, Mayor, for items 91 and 92 collectively.
Discussion? Ms. Arnold?
Yes, sir. When this item came up earlier this month regarding the Neiman Marcus Group and this grant, my concerns mostly dealt with the jobs and the impact on the southern sector. And with the new group that has acquired the Neiman Marcus, I was really concerned about their commitment, if any, to economic growth to the southern sector. I think they mentioned some areas, some projects that they might implement, but none of those affected southern sector. So once again, as Councilwoman for District 4, City Manager, please underscore the need for you to better align the economic development staff to work to identify creative solutions that allow us to take full advantage of various programs as we negotiate and grant these opportunities to our business partners so that we are fully able in the southern sector to take advantage of the toolkits that will create sustainable development in the southern sector, because once again, projects after projects proceed through the development process and receive priority attention that do not favor the community that I represent. So once again, I would encourage you and this council to take a serious stance as we promote not only housing opportunities, economic growth that are serious and seriously will help us to put our money where our mouth is. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to be in favor of these two items, but there are reasons to question this program. Some of you may have seen recent coverage of abuses of this program. It's not city money. It's state money, and we don't have the power to reform this program at this level, so it's not a good idea for us to oppose these designations because we would simply be making ourselves less competitive compared to other cities. And of course, we're grateful for these businesses that continue to want to do business in Dallas. So I don't want to do anything to disadvantage them at the state level, but we do need to mention to our state legislators that we have infinite needs that they have underfunded, and one way for them to reduce that impact is to reform the enterprise zones. So I'm in favor today, but this is a little bit of a mixed. I hope this isn't too much of a mixed message. We've got to go forward and do this because we need to remain competitive, but we need to call on our state to fix the rules. And just to quickly address the new owners of Neiman's, the ownership of Neiman's is the Canadian pension system. And that is a system that is highly visible in terms of, I'd say, high ethical standards in investment. They definitely do invest in areas for social reasons. So I don't see any reason why we couldn't communicate with them about
investments in parts of Dallas that need more investment than Elm Street. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold?
Well, it would be great to have Neiman Marcus at the Redbird Mall. I mean, I think it would be great to have an outlet there, see if they could work that. However, my concerns had to do with the statement that Mr. Kingston just mentioned, with the state having a certain control over, I think, the monies, or, and you might help me to remember those facts, Chairman Callahan, but I believe we talked about the difficulty of tracking the data in terms of their investments and the impact, and I think that's where I have the problem. We're allowing, and if I could ask this for the record so my constituents would know, I love Neiman Marcus, but we want to get the clarity. Mr. Callahan, how much money were we giving? Do you remember that? Something we give some funding along with the designation.
It's an enterprise zone thing, you know, it's from the Office of the Governor, so it's a state program, so I don't know exactly the amount of money. Mr. Zavikowski,
okay, Zavikowski, can you answer that so the public wants to know, you or Mr. Perot? I believe
Mr. Perot or Mr. Zavikowski may have that answer. Mr.
I don't have my notes here in front of me. What was the monetary connection here?
There's an opportunity for the company to receive rebates from sales taxes paid to the state up to $2,500 per eligible job, up to $1.25 million over a five-year designation period.
So you said $2.5 million.
$1.25 million.
What? Did you repeat that for us?
$1.25 million.
And so this allocation is based on the number of jobs created, correct?
It's based on jobs or jobs retained under the program, and for each job, they could be eligible for a $2,500 rebate of sales taxes paid to the state. And adding those up, you get to the maximum number of $1.25 million over the five-year designation period.
Okay. And I think, Mayor, that was part of my concern, because if we talk about jobs, there's no way we can put a requirement on Neiman Marcus to designate jobs for those in the southern sector. There is no commitment that we could engage in a contractual agreement, binding or non-binding, a gentleman's agreement, that any type of service would be placed in the southern sector. Even though this is not in my district, and Inland Port might be a great opportunity for them to have some type of an outlet so that there would be jobs there, but we have no way of having control. We just give them this designation. They get a rebate off their taxes. They maintain the same level of diversity or non-diversity that they have, because I don't know, and we don't have that information. So based on my observation of Neiman's Marcus and the operation, they have a long way to go in terms of documenting the MWBE standards, if you will. So those are my concerns with the Neiman Marcus, and once again, I love N&M, but when it comes to the southern sector, I have to keep pushing for quality and equal access, and I don't think this designation is really benefiting us in District 4. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Callahan.
Yeah, just a couple of things. I don't know if we could do maybe a zip code analysis of where their employees are, but I will speak firsthand. I have a neighbor three doors down. She works there. And then just a block over, I had a couple of neighbors that both work for Neiman's there. And then I know of another constituent, because she said that she was going to bring me some ties or something at some point. Still haven't seen those ties, but I know several of my constituents are definitely Neiman Marcus employees, so I think that's a good thing. But I would like to know, maybe in my zip codes, for instance, and maybe District 4, just how many employees are living there. So I think that's really what this is all about. I think they've got justification for it.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, one opposed.
Thank you. We move now. I'm sorry.
Back to 90. I think we forgot 90.
Yes. Who
voted? Mr. Arnold was nay.
Thank you. Agenda item number 90 is corrected on the addendum, and that is a benefit assessment hearing on street paving, drainage, water, and wastewater main improvements, and alley paving for project group 123004, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance levying benefit assessments. Are there any speakers on the item, either in favor or in opposition? Sir, if you'll please come forward. You do have 3 minutes. You'll notice the timer at the podium. State your name and address for the record and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings.
My name is Fred Viella. My address is 10247 Sylvia Drive, 75228. Just want to say that it's been 5 years since this item was first requested through getting neighbors to sign a petition. I think now it's coming true. I think it's very needed. Right now it's an eyesore, and I think it will benefit not only the homeowners, which I am one myself, but it also will benefit the city and the property values. So I really hope that this project goes through. Thank you.
Thank you. What street are we talking about? Is this?
It's an alleyway.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. Mr. Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have comments after the motion. I move to keep the public hearing open and defer the decision on levying the assessment until March 22nd, 2017.
Well, is this a public?
It's a hearing, yes, sir.
Okay. All right. We got a motion, second discussion, Mr. Clayton.
So, on this issue, I know that as neighbors, you know, the street's unimproved. I've had some concern come up lately about the direction it's going, and the reason I'm deferring it a month is to close the public hearing and to not do it. You'll have to have more opposition than you would in favor. So, I just feel from a democratic process, if people are really against it, they'll sign and say we don't want to pay for it. But if they're for it, they'll say they will. But under no circumstances will I let it go past March 22nd, sir. And we'll have a resolution to it in a month. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 93 is authorize the nomination of Columbia Hospital at Medical City Dallas Subsidiary LP, located at 777 4th Lane, Dallas, Texas, 75230, to receive designation as an enterprise project under the Texas Enterprise Zone Act. This item is not a public.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Move approval on that item.
A motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 94 is authorize the nomination of EnLink Midstream Operating LP, located at 1722 Ruth Street, Dallas, Texas 75201, to receive designation as an enterprise project under the Texas Enterprise Zone Act. Again, it is not a public hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Move approval on item 94.
The motion is second. Discussion, Ms. Arnold.
Yes, just for the record, for the public to understand, what is the benefit to these institutions receiving the enterprise, to receive a designation as an enterprise project under the Texas Enterprise Zone Act? What's the benefit?
Ms. Arnold, the benefit to the company is a reimbursement of sales taxes paid up to $2,500 per retained or new employee over the designation period, up to a maximum of $1.25 million over the five-year period.
All right, so the language looks a little bit different, but it's the same benefits of the name of the Neiman Marcus
yes, ma'am.
Enterprise
Zone. Yes, ma'am. It's the same benefits under the same program.
All right. So what could you just shed a little light so that the public would know what type of criteria is required by the state for them to be eligible for this designation?
Well, number one, they have to have a project where they're spending enough money to pay taxes to the state.
So give us an idea of what enough money means.
Well, the Medical City example from just a minute ago, they're spending about $120 million on their upgrade and expansion of the hospital,
okay,
as an example. EnLink will be doing the same thing in this project with its office building, be making major investment in the facility, new equipment, furniture, and things like that. The taxes that the companies pay to the state under that can be rebated if they hire a certain percentage of employees or retain employees who meet two different types of criteria. One, they can be enterprise zone residents, and then the second is they can be economically disadvantaged. They may be veterans, unemployed, several factors for that type of description. So with a commitment to hire enterprise zone residents or economically disadvantaged individuals, they can get reimbursed on state sales taxes that they pay. They also have to pay an average of $63,000, which is the county average wage. So we're talking about jobs that are well-paying jobs.
Right. And I appreciate that, and it's not that I'm against the creation of jobs. I think where the sticker came for me was that these jobs that are created, the fact that they're created, we as a city have no way of controlling who has access to those jobs. So that means you have many individuals who are more mobile through the suburbs who can come in to be hired in these positions. And the creation of jobs does not necessarily mean that those individuals in the southern sector will have the same opportunity to access these jobs because of the lack of, I think, an expedient network that we're discussing now with DART. So just giving them the designation of and the creation of jobs without any enhancement from the city, I think, is difficult because I understand we can't require them to hire people just constituents, citizens of Dallas only, even though the city of Dallas is the only entity supporting these companies in the enterprise zone. Does that make sense to you? See, the city of Dallas, they're not getting a designation from any other jurisdiction. For example, Richardson or Irving, they're getting only one. And that's the city of Dallas, correct?
We're nominating them. The state will give them the designation after a competitive analysis of their application relative to other applications.
But right now, Dallas is the only one.
We're nominating them.
We're nominating. And our goal is to push for jobs that support the citizens of Dallas.
Yes, ma'am.
That'd be our primary goal.
Yes, ma'am.
Can we require these companies to hire Dallas citizens only?
The state's program does not mandate that.
Can we require that?
If this council would stipulate that that would be a consideration for it to consider nominations, this council could direct staff to not bring projects forward unless there's commitment on that regard. That would be the city and the council's will, but okay. It is not under the state program.
Could you hold that thought for a minute? Attorney, could I speak to an attorney who has expertise in this field? And I know he has expertise in economics, but I like to get things on the record and make sure we don't have any wiggle room. From a legal standpoint, I want to know if we can do this.
Yeah, certainly we could do a contract with the company. As a condition of our nomination, they could make the commitment to do a local hiring requirement.
All right, so how would that look? Would economic development come? Just tell us, walk us through this process. Does economic development get the application? Does the city manager get the application? How does it work, and how would we
if this council wanted the economic development office to pursue that, I mean, as companies came in requesting the incentive, we would tell them that, you know, that would be an element that we would want to negotiate, you know, at the council's discretion prior to consideration.
How are we notified as council members about
how are you
these
notified?
Things?
Well, we probably, like we do all other projects, we bring them to the committee.
All right, so, but in general, the first step would be that the applications would come to your office.
A request for a designation with information comes to our office.
Right.
We look at it. If we have designations or if the project fits criteria that we think there's a benefit, we'll process it. Then we bring it to the City Council's Economic Development Committee and then ultimately to Council.
All right. So the Economic Development Committee at that time could direct your staff to work with legal to put the language in that requires that these companies hire Dallas citizens only?
If we as a city wanted to do that, we could do that. I we could have a conversation.
Okay, I just want to put that on the record because my constituents are asking about job opportunities. So just, you all just bear with me. I just want to make sure that I put this on the record so when we come back for a conversation with a company, we can put that forward if we're not afraid to do that.
Yeah, Ms. Arnold, we can certainly look at that, but I would also tell you that we've requested that data from the state. They've been a little slow in getting back to us, but we finally made contact today. So we'll have that information about where these people live and where their jobs are in terms of that Enterprise Zone project, and we're going back a little bit to see what that data looks like. Then that will tell us how many of these folks are really living in Dallas or not, and I think that would be beneficial in your decision-making in terms of what you want to do about that issue.
Thank you, and I appreciate that. And the type of jobs, not only just the type of job, the salaries and the level, we're talking more than just concessions.
Yes.
And maintenance. All right, thank you. You've done a fantastic job in responding. I think my constituents will be happy today. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 7 is a public hearing regarding an application to the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs, TDHCA, for 2017 9% low-income housing tax credits for Wynwood Senior Housing 2, a 140-unit multifamily senior project located at approximately 1805 South Zane Boulevard. And at the close of the public hearing, authorize number 1, a resolution in support of the TDHCA 9% low-income housing tax credit LIHTC application. Number 2, an amendment to an assumption of Wynwood Senior Housing 2 LP of an existing housing redevelopment loan provided to an affiliate of the developer by the city in 1993 for the parks at Wynwood located at 1910 Argentina Drive, with a remaining balance of $125,000. Number 3, subordination of the amended and assumed loan to the senior construction lender for the 140-unit multifamily seniors project. And number 4, conditioned upon the award of 2017 9% LIHTC to Wynwood Senior Housing 2 LP, forgiveness of the remaining balance of the assumed loan upon completion of the project. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I move approval.
Motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All
I'm sorry.
Mr. Griggs. I'm sorry.
This is the third phase of the Parks of Wynwood, which is an exciting project that began back in with phase one. We got passed by council in the fall of 2011. I know, Mayor, you came out for the ribbon cutting of phase two. Mm-hmm. And it's just an example of a phenomenal low-income housing project. Just great. It's got even structured parking phase two had. The amenities were absolutely amazing, the pool. Phase three is going to be just as good. And so I want to thank Bank of America and City Square. I know John Greenan's here. I believe Lincoln Properties operates, assists with the operation of them. Also want to thank the residents of the parks at Wynwood, who've been so supportive of, over the years of this, Wynwood North, Wynwood Heights, Beckleywood, the Polk Vernon neighborhood, and Elmwood, and everyone in Oak Cliff that supported this great project to get this going. So congratulations, John. Thank you for all your hard work. I know you've worked tirelessly on this, getting this one done over the last almost 6 years. So thank you very much.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Oh, Ms. Arnold, do you want to say something?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Once again, I would applaud the councilman for the growth in the District 1, the Bishop Arts District, and we've seen tremendous growth in that district, and I know we would like to refer to that as the southern sector, but I'll speak to the southern sector as it relates to District 4, where we've not been able to get this type of growth, and I applaud the banks for their investment and would encourage them to join us in District 4 with further investment. But once again, Mayor, council members, projects after projects have gone through and received approval from this council since arriving in 2015. My constituents are asking, what's happening? Why can we not get a grocery store? Why can we not have quality services in District 4 and other southern sector districts? So projects after projects proceed through the development process and receive priority attention that often do not favor the community that I represent. So once again, I would encourage this council to take a serious stance as we verbalize growing south, to put money where its mouth is, And once again, Mr. City Manager, I request that you better align the efforts of the economic development, housing to work together to identify creative solutions that allow us to take full advantage of the various programs and resources in this city with the economic toolkit so that we too in the southern sector can have sustainable development and enjoy and be able to pass on a legacy to our children so they know that they too had an opportunity regardless of the fact that it was a struggle to get there, but they arrived. So my constituents keep asking, why can't we have a grocery store? Why can't we have a community center that has a multitude of services? Why can't we have affordable housing? The questions go on and on and on. And I often tell them it's up to the council. It's up to the city. I will continue to fight. I have pledged every ounce of energy that I have to fight for those constituents who continue to send me and support me as their voice here at City Hall. And I know it's very painful at times for you to hear me, but I am not going anywhere. I'm going to keep saying the same thing. We want quality, we want services, and we want it now. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your items. We move now to the additional open microphone speakers remaining from the morning session. And they are Hank Lawson, Brent Rosenthal, Sherman Roberts, Tom Gibbons, Willie Mae Coleman, Dorothy Hopkins, and Bernestine Williams. We also have end open microphone registration. Those will be called a little bit later. Although first we cite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from the session of the meeting. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice a timer at the podium. When your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. You should state your name and address for the record. As well, if you have any handouts, we recommend you go ahead and give them to our security officer, as it does affect your speaking time if you try to distribute them at the time your name is called. Again, Hank Lawson. Mr. Lawson.
I'm Hank Lawson, 2402 Park Row, 75215. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity, Mayor and Council. I want to speak to you about the issue of disapproval of our support, of your city support for our application, questioning the rationale of the disqualifying grounds based primarily on the lack of economic development in the area beyond just the Parkland Clinic and the Dart Hatcher Station. Because our collective impact model for shared responsibility for the betterment of our neighborhood includes most of the major institutions serving us, the investment in improvement in improved human and social services is huge and is being overlooked. Just as important as the economic development investment, the Parkland Clinic, our residents now have access to health care in the neighborhood as opposed to emergency room service at the Parkland Hospital. Baylor is now a fixture in the community, adopting services needed by the community in the community. University of North Texas Law School Lawyering Center provides free legal services to populations where so many are denied entry into the workforce for legal issues and minor criminal records. DISD is converting Fraser Elementary into a job readiness center for adults as well as needed support services. Fraser After School Network is expanding the opportunities for better after school and summer programming, providing a pathway for the likes of Big Thought, Dallas After School, Commit, State Fair Texas to better penetrate our community with their services. With Fraser serving as the quarterback for this collective impact model, our role is to mobilize for change. Today, we can say that we now have in place amongst many institutional partners and residents, the needed infrastructure, processes, and timely data sharing of continuous assessment and improvement. Our collective impact model is working. Now, more than any time in the recent past, resources are coming into the community in ways that say loud and clear that this is a shared responsibility. We are in this together. We have worked hard to minimize silo efforts, and the results speak for themselves. With all of this
we still don't qualify under fair housing policy. This public policy continues to marginalize our residents. They increase the barriers. Everything the mayor's Grow South describes in his goals, same with WINS, Neighborhood Plus, the mayor's task on poverty, they all outline how and what to target to alleviate poverty. We do all of this with our collective impact efforts, and we still don't qualify. Say that to the people that live in that area. This is not a District 7 issue. This is an issue that has ramifications citywide. It's the kind of decision that leads to continued generational poverty, communities of trauma and stress, and highly marginalized people. We deserve better. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lawson.
Your next speaker, Brent Rosenthal.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Broadnax, and City Council members, my name is Brent Rosenthal. I live at 6617 Lakewood Boulevard in Dallas. I'm a lawyer, and I represented Fraser Revitalization in the Supreme Court case that was brought by the Inclusive Communities Project against the Texas Department of Housing, and it's the case that we heard discussed this morning. I am here to dispel the notion that I know has been circulating that the Supreme Court's decision in that case prevents city approval of an affordable housing project in a minority neighborhood. That notion is utterly false, as a simple reading of the case shows. The Supreme Court said in that case, I hesitate to quote at length, but it's their words, not mine, it would be paradoxical to construe the Fair Housing Act to impose onerous costs on actors who encourage revitalizing dilapidated housing in our nation's cities merely because some other priority, such as providing housing in HOAs, high opportunity areas, in other words, white neighborhoods, might seem preferable. The Fair Housing Act does not decree a particular vision of urban development, and it does not put housing authorities and private developers in a double bind of liability subject to suit whether they choose to rejuvenate a city or to promote local housing income opportunities in suburban communities. So it is utterly false, as the Supreme Court says, that the Supreme Court opinion compelled that result. As a result, and I have a fact sheet that the mayor's office provided, it does not mention in the fact sheet that the suit brought by ICP, Inclusive Communities Project, was dismissed by the judge on remand from the Supreme Court, and that occurrence happened after HUD promulgated its regulations. So obviously, Judge Sidney Fitzwater, who dismissed the case, did not think that the Fair Housing Act compels placement of affordable housing projects only in, again, high opportunity areas. The Inclusive Communities Project, I note, was supplied information to the council. They lost that case, and we were their opponents, so I'm not surprised that their mission is to favor affordable housing only in high opportunity areas. So I'm not surprised that they encourage the council to adopt the view that's at odds with the Supreme Court's decision. Finally, I want to say that I heard approval of a housing project for artists. I assume African Americans will be housed at that project, but I guarantee you the Fair Housing Act and the HUD regulations were not passed to provide affordable housing opportunities for artists. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sherman Roberts. Mr. Roberts will be followed by Tom Gibbons, Willie Mae Coleman.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council members. My name is Sherman Roberts, 5826 Fox Hill Lane. I, too, was in the court, Judge Fitzwater's court today of May when he ruled on the ICP lawsuit that was stating that ICP said they were not against building in CRP areas. I'm here today to talk mostly about our policy. We've been working on a housing plan for a while, And we keep putting policies together, but when RFPs come out, we change the policies as we go. For instance, in this case, with the Fraser revitalization, there was a policy in place. And Fraser, let me say this, is the only project that's going to score in Dallas, just like 2014. Serenity was the only project. You score yourself and you kind of know. Patriot will be the only CRP project. It's the only CRP project, and it's the only one that's going to score. The other one in our region is in Fort Worth, and they applauded us. They send texts because they're glad if you don't pass this one, they will get the project. During the court's ruling, when ICP lost the court suit, most cities went back to start doing business and trying to work in all the minority areas. We're on a voluntary compliance, and maybe that needs to be adjusted because it does not say that we need to pick everybody up in the minority areas and move them to the north. We're in a congressional mandate. Congressional mandate says that you have to build in QCTs. And in your own CRP plan that you put together, it says we have to build in a QCT. Hatchard, all the projects in the minority areas are in QCTs. Yet we come back with different phrases that we say as we go. I can do 100% mix of income, a high opportunity area in the low income area and still get the same results because in building low income areas, the market is the market. It's driven by the market. And in most low-income areas, the market is the same, almost, if not the same, as a low-income resident. So we can keep playing with words, and we can keep saying this, and we can keep treating it like we don't know. But they lost the lawsuit. We can build in high opportunity areas all day long, but we cannot disenfranchise the neighborhoods that we're working in right now. Race is a protected characteristics in the congressional mandate. It's a protected. And so, you know, if we don't do something fast, we won't have anything in the minority area. So I applaud you to look at what you have sent as a voluntary compliance tweeted, but I wish you consider this project, Fraser, because it's a good project. And this will be the only project that Dallas will get. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Roberts.
Next speaker, Tom Gibbons. Mr. Gibbons is coming forward.
2515 Hawkins Avenue, 75209. First thing I want to mention is
if you can pull that microphone down, Mr. Gibbons.
The most honorable First Lady Mayor of Dallas, Adeline Harrison, 92 years young. She has a problem with it. One of her neighbors had a big old pothole in front of her home, and she hasn't been able to get something done about it. I hope by now something's been done about it. Code enforcement has been fantastic, except they put no handrails in the stairs entering the ambassador apartments. But everything else has been taken care of very fast. That 311 number is very good. New code enforcement is fantastic. We have a bicycle park over in Garrett Park. Now at Garrett and Greenville, and it's really increased the participation of families over there with their children riding around the park. Once a month speaking at the people's home, I think that would make a fantastic case in the Supreme Court, not allowing the citizens who paid for this house not to speak when it's open, when the council's in session. I know you have pressing business. But as the First Lady Mayor of Dallas once said, it's 2:00. It's time for here for the people. I used to have it on my little shop on 4100 Cedar Springs at the Times Herald wanted to mention when I ran for mayor in January 19th of 1980. Hell of a lawsuit. I know a couple of police officers who work off duty in the skyscrapers downtown. And I know I speak at the council and so on for a long while. And they asked me if I would emphasize that we need some lighting between the West End Dart train station and bus station over to the Omni on Lamar Street, the most intensive lighting that has ever been created in the cosmos. I think that would make that area much safer than it is presently. and I'm sure some of them have spoken to you, but they asked me if I would, and that was months ago, and I'm just getting to it. For the sake of the lives of the officers who work down there and the citizens that do business down there and work down there, this lighting should be put in no matter what it costs to save more human lives. This has been brought to you by Dallas Behavioral Spiral Hospital. It's not in Dallas. It's at 800 North, Kirkwood Drive. You can go in there on a daily basis, or you can go in there on a week to two-week basis. And it's one of the greatest places in Dallas County. And one of the worst places that the citizens should be taken to is the Green Oaks. They whip up on World War II veterans that if it wasn't for them. We speak German or Japanese, but because of them, we still speak English. And I witnessed cops being, this World War II veteran being whipped on by orderlies in October of 2012.
Thank you, Mr. Gibbons. Thank you, Mr. Gibbons.
Appreciate it very much.
Your next speaker will be Willie Mae Coleman. Ms. Coleman will be followed by Dorothy Hopkins, Bernestine Williams, Dorothy Perry, Demetria McCain, Kay Butler, and Dolores Williams.
Good afternoon, Mayor. My name is Willie Mae Coleman. I live at 3802 York Street in Dallas, Texas, in District 7. I come down today with really a broken heart. This is Black History Month. I'm 82 years old. I remember when we didn't fit in here, we couldn't come in here, and there were certain places we could not go. I could not go to the fair when my mother carried me. But I come with broken heart to know that you don't want us to have a project that would be fitting to our neighborhood. We get nothing over there. We get nothing. You give a grocery store a lot of money to open the grocery store, and he double his prices, and sell three-day-old bread. So we still have to go to Tom Thumb and all those stores out there to get something fresh that you want. And so it's just like we are lost, and I've been out there all my life. It wasn't a southern Dallas. It was Oak Cliff. It was South Dallas, East Dallas, and West Dallas. And the people in Oak Cliff did not want to be called Southern Dallas. That just started recently. But I want you all to think about it. We live out there. Nothing comes that way. Nothing. I can't get a Walgreens drugstore prices are different than the ones farther out or in Mesquite. They double ours. The lady said, well, you all steal more. So we raise our prices. We have to make up our price, deficits. This is unfair. This is unfair. We are human beings. We are real people. We live and we breathe just like you do. And it breaks my heart to see my great-great-grandbabies see this going on now. And some of the things that I have to tell them, that I hear them say and I talk to them about it, oh, Granny, that's bad. It is, but that's just the way people do you, and that's the way people think about you. I can't make you all love me, but I can surely ask you to please respect that we are human beings, and we would like to have something decent in our community, and I'd like to see something decent, because we used to have grocery stores, theaters, and everything in South Dallas. I've been there all these years. My sister was born there. We grew up in South Dallas. We lived in Queen City. And these 82 years, I've seen a lot. My memories go back to 1939. But I appreciate you all listening to me. And think about what I said. We deserve more, and we deserve better.
Thank you, Ms. Coleman.
Dorothy Hopkins. Ms. Hopkins will be followed by Bernestine Williams.
Good afternoon. Hi, my name is Dorothy Hopkins. I live at 2821 Rosedale in Dallas. But I'm speaking this afternoon on behalf of Fraser Revitalization at 4716 Elsie Faye Higgins, and speaking about the residents at Hatcher Station. You know about the project. We've sent you information on the project. My ask is still the same. I understand you cannot do that today. You can't post a motion today. But I also understand there is a city council briefing coming up on March 1st, and we would appreciate still your support for this project, up to $1 million in gap funding for the from the remaining unallocated housing department funds, and identification of this project as contributing more than any other development to a CRP effort in the city. City staff, I understand, and attorneys continue to point to the ICP-TDHCA Supreme Court decision, but seems to fail to look at the final dismissal of that case. And with that dismissal, the TDHCA has adjusted their scoring for the housing tax credits to be more in line with Section 42 of the Internal Revenue Code again, which says that preference should be given to projects in low-income areas or qualified census tracts that contribute to concerted revitalization plans, and the Fraser project is both. I also received an email this morning from the mayor's office that addressed reasons why our project was failed, and one of the reasons included concerns from ICP. And so I wanted to read you this quote from a court document when ICP was opposing Fraser revitalization as being an intervener in the case. And here's the quote. ICP is not and has not been opposed to the continued use of low-income housing tax credits in connection with developments and qualified census tracts that contribute to a concerted community revitalization plan. So it sounds to me like ICP would not be opposed to this project. I further understand that there were issues or questions related to the number of market rate units. And at our developer meeting in December with city staff, they suggested we raise our market rate units to 10. We complied with that because that's what they said it would take for this project to pass, and we still did not pass. So, again, I just request that you consider us on March 1st, and I appreciate your time this afternoon.
Thank you.
Bernadine Williams. Ms. Williams will be followed by Dorothy Perry, Demetri McCain, Kay Butler, and Dolores Williams.
Good afternoon. My name is Bernstein Williams.
Can you just move the mic up a little higher?
Thank you. You're welcome. I guess y'all wonder how I got here from McKinney. I have to let you know that the last time I had to search for housing, with a housing choice voucher, I was not able to find anything in Dallas, Richardson, any of the surrounding areas until I was able to hear from a friend, in McKinney, Texas. And that's how I'm in McKinney, but my voucher comes out of Dallas. But there was just nothing available. I just like to use this as one of my prime examples. With a certificate, I had this much paperwork that I had to utilize to even find. I had this much paperwork in order to find that property. Turned down by just over and over the real estate agencies, and no one supports it, the people with the voucher. So therefore, being a liaison for ICP, and now I'm also been chosen, in which I had pursued this for years, to be the resident advisory council person for Dallas Housing Authority. Now that I've raised six children, all of them, well, five of them are college grads, and we did get to utilize the Walker Project, the permit, and we were able to live in those areas. So I can empathize with council member Carolyn King Arnold, because if we hadn't had all of that, what Plano offered, what Richardson offered, what North Dallas at the time in 1992, what they offered, I don't think none of us would have been where we are. I'm talking about me and my children. And also,
I was able to get a scholarship, North Central Texas Council on Governments. I was able to, you know, kind of stabilize my mind because I knew I was in a safe neighborhood. I knew my children were safe. I knew I was getting good schooling. And I just knew all those things were in place. So I was able to pursue a graduate degree at Texas, University of Texas at Dallas. Now, I didn't have a great support system, but, you know, it worked out to the best. And I actually got the classes for the science certification to re-enter the job market. So there was just a lot of things that fair housing and I would say even with the Carolina Project, we need not 200, we need 20,000 of those. It is just ridiculous that we qualm about 200 units, but I'm highly supportive of it, and it does work. I mean, I'm a living example that it actually works. Although I'm still in the program, I'm getting my credit scores up, and I'm actually going into the home ownership phase. So we need to think about, you know, whether or not even something like Carolina Project is even anything worth talking about. Now, if we had 20,000 of those, then we could possibly talk. So just take into consideration what I said. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Williams.
Dorothy Perry. Ms. Perry is coming forward. Demetra McCain, Kay Butler, and Dolores Williams will follow.
Hi, my name is Dorothy Perry. I live at 2515 Perryton Drive, 75233, which is the Parlor House. I'm a senior citizen there. I'm on housing, and I gave them notice that I had lost my job. So Marion Oliver is charging me late fees for this month, and she charged me. She went in my bank account last month and deducted my rent, making me owe the bank over $300. So I went to Fire Housing and talked to them. They sent me sent her a letter. So when I paid her rent this month after she put an eviction notice on my door, she told me yesterday that she don't have to give me my money back. That was my retirement that I had paid my rent for. Housing said they was going to pay my rent from October 2016 up until now. So when I asked her about my rent money for this month, she told me she didn't have to give me my money back because housing have not paid her. And she was not going to pay my bill from the bank that they have deducted out of my account, which is negative, and I didn't have the money in there, but the bank paid them anyhow. So that makes me owe them $300-something. I come to you and ask you, do senior citizens have to go through this? And she promised me when I paid her the rent this month that she was going to give it back. But now she said she don't have to honor nobody if she's not going to give me my money back and she's not going to give back to me and to house and pay her. So, and I want to know, what do I do and what do I have to go through to in order to get justice from housing and the Potter House?
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah. We can probably help you over there, and then Mr. Thomas.
I was going to say if someone in senior services could get with her, but I'll be over there tomorrow for the program, and so I'll talk to your manager tomorrow, and I'll make sure you get my contact information, and I'll look for you tomorrow, and we can have a conversation about that.
So you want me to meet you at housing?
No, I'll be over at the Potter's House tomorrow for the program. And I'll meet you over there tomorrow, and I'll talk with you about what's going on. I'll also talk with management while I'm over there.
Okay.
We'll get some help.
I do appreciate it. Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you, Ms. Perry.
Your next speaker, Demetra McCain. Ms. McCain will be followed by Kay Butler and Dolores Williams.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor. Demetra McCain, president of the Inclusive Communities Project, of which you've heard quite a bit today about, but not from us. I am here in full and passionate support of the Carolina Chase apartment complex as they seek to get simply a letter of support from this council. My question is, and is the question of many of the clients that our councils work with, is, are low-income families worth the price of a stamp? There's a developer who's ready, willing, and able to develop the Carolina Chase apartments. That developer is not asking for money from the city. That developer is not asking for a zoning variance. There are families who have lived there. The city is pumping millions of dollars into that area and leveraging other monies into that area as they redevelop the Valley View Galleria area. There is already housing in that area that is helping low-income families, and this developer simply wants to get a letter from this city to support that effort as they go forward with the LIHTC application. The VCA that the city is under states the city should consider encouraging development of affordable housing throughout the city, including housing for low and very low income residents. So far, 2016, August, I believe it was, through now, with the exception of a small little artist complex in downtown Dallas, we've only seen the city support housing projects that are in high poverty, traditionally and historically segregated neighborhoods. What is the city going to do? People want to know, what is the city going to do? There is no cost to simply writing a resolution of support. This council knows that the developer is on a time crunch and that this can get done. So if we're not going to go ahead and support these families who already live there and other families who might move to this area, why is the city even considering redoing the housing policy? This specific project falls squarely into the housing placement policy that the city quickly moved through. We're still waiting for a comprehensive policy, but this project, Carolina Chase, falls squarely within the housing placement policy. We'd like to know, why hasn't the city supported it? Thank you.
Thank you.
Kay Butler. Kay Butler's not, oh, she's coming forward. Dolores Williams will be the final speaker today.
Good afternoon. Kay Butler with Inclusive Communities Project. I am one of the counselors who work with that organization, located at 3301 Elm Street, Dallas, downtown Dallas. I am one of the counselors that support the families that is always calling me looking for housing in Dallas. The Carolina Chase would be a perfect place for so many of my families. So many of my families have to move to Dallas because of their jobs, because of transportation, and because of the Parkland Hospital rights. You have to have the Parkland Hospital, you have to stay in Dallas in order to have Parkland benefits. So many of my clients come to me from being homeless, and then they get the voucher, but they still can't find anything in the Dallas area. We need this so bad. I'm here, been fighting for many, many years with my family. I truly believe in a choice and an opportunity just to have the things that some of us take advantage of, just being able to get a roof over their head, just being able to get up and maybe catch one or two buses to get to work, not having to catch seven or eight buses 3 hours to get to their jobs. If they were given this Carolina Chase opportunity for you to support and agree on this property, it would make such a difference for my families. They call me several days, all day, every day, and it's nothing I can do but look, continue to look. We're going to continue to fight. I'm not going to give up. That's what I'm here for. So if you would reconsider approving this property for our clients, it would really make a difference. All it takes is a vote. I know you're thinking, so do the right thing for us. Thanks.
Thank you.
Dolores Williams. Ms. Williams.
Good afternoon. Good evening. Good afternoon. My name is Dolores Williams, and I live at 5714 Duck Creek Drive, Garland, Texas, 75043. I am a voucher holder, and Ms. Butler is my caseworker. I have a voucher now that I'm about to lose on the 6th of next month.
Carolina Housing Project will be perfect for me because it's in the city of Dallas. I had to be pushed out to Garland, which I don't mind now that I'm there, but I would really love to come back to Garland, I mean back to Dallas from Garland, because all my family resides in Dallas. And there's no I in we, there's no we in team. Together, we all achieve more. That's what team stands for. And if we stand alone, we're going to fall. But if we stand together, together we stand, divided we fall. So the Carolina Project will be good for a whole lot of families, including my family, because I have a whole lot of family members that's on housing. You know, people lose their jobs, as I've stated. You get these to move to these outskirts because we can't be in Dallas because they don't have enough money for the city of Dallas that we can move into the city. So we're being pushed out because they're paying more money for Garland, McKinney, Mesquite, wherever. But if they put more money, I believe, in the project, inclusive management have helped me along the way, a long ways. And I thank God for my caseworker, Ms. Butler. I call her sometime. I be so upset. I do cry because I know that if I call her, I say, Ms. Butler, do you know anywhere that I may be able to move? She will give me leads to try to get me somewhere in the city of Dallas. I work in Mesquite, but I would love to live in Dallas. And I thank God that I have a housing voucher because I became disabled in 2011 and I work part time. And I would love to move to Dallas because when we live in Dallas, if we lose our job, sometimes people lose their job. And a lot of these apartments is turning you down because you may have had to move out because, you know, you broke your lease. So when you go to the next property trying to find an apartment, they look at that. And so it's a lot of people lose their jobs, you know, where they can't pay their bills. They lose their spouse. You know, so we need this Carolina Housing Project. It would help us a lot. And then all the things that they have in a lot of these projects, you know, learning centers for the children, for the adults. You can go to school, get an education. You know, it's a lot that's going on. So we really do need this project. And all you have to do is vote yes for this project. And we would greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Meeting's adjourned, 2:53. Thank you.